take our people car meeting to order at 9 o'clock. Again, it's a pleasure to welcome everybody here, and good morning. We'll begin with the benediction this morning, and it's a pleasure for me to introduce Rabbi Benzai Epstein of the Dallas Area Torah Association. Rabbi Epstein, it is a pleasure to have you with us. As I think all of you are aware, tonight at sundown marks the start of Yom Kippur. The rabbi is the director of the Dallas Area Torah Association, and he's really the driving force behind all Dallas Area Torah Association programs. He and his family moved to Dallas and founders of that association back in 1992. Rabbi, we appreciate you being with us today on a very special occasion for the Jewish faith. Please, Rabbi.
We are living in times of great financial turmoil and world challenges. This time period marks the Jewish high holidays in which God judges the world, and the future of the world hangs in balance. Tonight, Jews all over the world usher in the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It is a day of repentance and introspection, how we can bring ourselves and the entire world closer to God to sanctify the world with His presence. Avinu Shebashamayim, our Father in Heaven, Master of the Universe, we thank you for the opportunity and responsibility which you have given us to make decisions and pass legislation which affect the future of our great city, Dallas. Our Father in Heaven, we pray to you today that we be responsible with that privilege. We pray that the City Council, under the leadership of Mayor Tom Leppard, who leads them, be given the courage to make the difficult decisions and the wisdom to make the correct ones. It says in our Holy Bible in Exodus, which discusses the first council of the Bible, and I quote, "And you shall discern from among the entire people, people of accomplishment, God-fearing people, people of truth, people despise money, and you shall appoint them leaders of thousands." Avinu Shebashamayim, our Father in Heaven, we conclude this prayer that the men and women of this council live up to the standards that you have set as a guide for a moral and ethical society, and that all its citizens live in freedom and tranquility, and let us all say, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Rabbi, thank you very much. Ms. Davis, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation,
Well, again, good morning, everybody. And before we begin our regular agenda, we are privileged to recognize some very special people. They are people that work with the City of Dallas, and they've gone above and beyond the call, especially in recent weeks. As I think everybody's aware, there's been a series of hurricanes that have impacted the lives and families across the country, but specifically in regard to those that live along the Gulf Coast. Of course, on September 13th, Hurricane Ike hit the Houston and Galveston areas, and we all have seen the pictures and understand the devastating damage that was caused and the evacuations that resulted for that. I'm proud to report that the City of Dallas has provided instrumental support and assistance in the aftermath of this hurricane. The City of Dallas's hurricane ice debris recovery team, consisting of the Dallas Police Department, Street Services, Sanitation, Water Utilities, and Dallas Fire Rescue, have done a terrific job of helping out those in time of need. Mayor's office, and as well as all the council offices, have received numerous emails from Houston area residents thanking the City of Dallas. And I'd like to read just one of those from an average citizen in Houston. It says, "Hello, Mayor, how are you? Our Mayor, Bill White, said that we should thank all the cities that helped us restore our lights in Houston. I live with my daughter, and we were without lights for 6 long days. I never appreciated electricity so much before. If not for other crews from cities like yours, it probably would have taken weeks. Thanks from the bottom of my heart from a citizen of Houston. I saw all those trucks parked along the Raceway Park, and I was in tears. Humanity does not help humanity. Humanity does help humanity, and I know Houston will be there for you guys too if needed. God bless the City of Dallas and all those workers that came here, electricians and so on." We also received a very kind letter from the mayor of the city of Bridge City in Texas, and I'd like to read that. It is addressed to Mary Nix, who's our Director of Sanitation Services. "Dear Miss Nix, please accept my thanks to your recovery team. Their work in our city at our time of devastation of Hurricane Ike was extremely appreciated. Our city crews are stretched to the limit and would never have been able to accomplish the debris removal that your crews were able to complete. I would appreciate your passing this certificate of appreciation on to the mayor so that it may be read at the special recognition breakfast. Once again, convey our thanks to your team for their work and beyond the call of duty and to the city of Dallas for their tremendous help. A big thanks goes out to all the supervisors and staff in the city of Dallas who were involved in this hurricane recovery effort. This morning, we would like to recognize the hurricane debris recovery team in honor of their commendable hard work and dedication. I think we're going to begin with a PowerPoint presentation to tell us all a little bit more about what was done during Hurricane Ike recovery efforts. Mary, can I turn it over to you?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor. Good morning, Council Mayor. Pleasure to be here. As you know, Hurricane Ike is almost a vague memory for us, but for those in the Bay Cities, Houston, and the coastal cities, it's still very present, and they were delighted that the city of Dallas could support in their time of need. I'll tell you that Hurricane Ike snuck in on Houston and Galveston in the middle of the night. It was 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday when it plowed into Galveston. Fortunately, many of the folks had already evacuated the Gulf cities and had already come in and were in Dallas at our convention center under shelter. We were bracing for Ike to come see us, and we're very fortunate that it veered north and missed Dallas. So as we were breathing a sigh of relief, there were others who were going to work to help in with search and rescue. If you'll move the slide up for me, please. 48 of the Dallas Fire Rescue personnel joined Texas Task Force 2. This is a search and rescue group, helped hundreds and thousands of folks who thought they could ride out the storm and found out that they were in trouble. They did, as I said, thousands of rescues and assists. They cleared structures that were needing to be cleared. Their kind of work is just immeasurable, the value of it. Next slide, please. But after the emergency requests were finished, a second call came in for help, and this time it was for debris clearing. As it turned out, roadways were blocked so that hospitals could not be accessed. Rescue vehicles could not get out to folks in Houston and in the Galveston area. Power restoration was difficult because so many lines were down. So Dallas mustered a team called Debris Team 1 within 48 hours to respond and to send what we know how to do best, which is how to clear streets and get things working again. You can see from these photos here that about 78 vehicles were available to clear streets. Our first task was to cut and clear, and there were plenty of trees to cut and clear. They were all over the city, and you'll see some of the damage that was done to the residents. Trees that were not these little, you know, 6-inch diameter things, but stuff that was 24, 36 inches, things that our chainsaws were really pushed to manage. But the team went in there. They were under some terrific leadership. I'd like to introduce that leader of the team at the close of this. But they went in. We did what we know how to do best. We cleared the streets. We cleared Houston's neighborhood that they had asked us to do in about 5 or 6 days, and then moved on to the city of Bridge City. That was the letter that the mayor just read. They were hugely devastated. This city was inundated by a wall of 12 feet of water that just went completely across the town, filled every home. It toppled houses like this. It knocked over others. Over 50% of the city was gone because the population had to evacuate to shelters elsewhere. When we got there, it was a week later, folks were coming back and they needed help clearing stuff out. You can see the streets were just lined with debris as folks moved things out from their houses, their couches, their refrigerators, the sheetrock. You remember what it was like when we had a storm in May of 2007. We cleared quite a bit of that. It made that storm in Dallas look like a mouse compared to an elephant. It was just devastating what the folks in Bridge City went through. We were proud to be able to help, though, and I'm glad that we were able to be there. In terms of what did we do, we sent 4 convoys in all. You may have seen it was on the news when we sent the first convoy out. 168 staff people participated in that for over 25,000 hours of service. And I have to tell you that the folks who are here behind me, most of them were able to be here today, they gave not just 8 or 10 hour days. These folks put in 12, 14, 18, and sometimes 20-hour days so that they could help these other cities and they could represent Dallas as well as they do. And then after their 20-hour day, they got to go home to their little cot, the little canvas cot, after eating a little meal out of a foil packet, those meals ready to eat. Those were good. And they did that for week after week after week. But we had the equipment, we had the manpower, and we had the will to do that. And one of the values we have is that we were able to demonstrate to our Texas neighbors what a good neighbor we could be. And we built the bridges. So when we are in trouble and when we need the help, you know that Houston and Bridge City in particular will be there for us. In addition, it's helped us to get ready for any disaster we would have. So if I could just take a moment and ask those fine men and women who did this, your staff that did this service, to stand up and be recognized as speakers. And then very briefly, I'd like to introduce the incident commander, the guy who led everybody through all of this and who inspired their leadership. His name is Randy Payton. He's been Water Utilities, and he has done a yeoman service over the last 3 weeks. Randy?
Absolutely.
Mayor, Council, thank you, Ms. Nix. It was an honor to serve with such a great group of people. It showed a lot of dedication and compassion towards those in need. Only thing I asked of them was help, and what they gave me in return was heart and soul. And they truly deserve more than I can give. And I applaud each and every one of you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Randy. We are just so very appreciative to everybody that really lended a hand. As I said, kind of went above and beyond the call of duty. We all saw the pictures after the first day or so, but then when the cameras went away and people had to live with the issues, you got a chance to jump in and really help the people, and that makes such a big difference. And we're just so appreciative to what you've done and so proud that you represent the city of Dallas, not only in this case, but what you do on a day-to-day basis. Thank you. Mr. Atkins, would you like to make a comment?
Yes. Mary Nix, Ms. Nix, please. I'd just like to thank you for your help with the city, and I also thank all the employees of the city of Dallas, what you did. I mean, it was something that you had to do in a short notice, but we did put it together, and I see the people out there in the audience and the citizens there that y'all did a great job, and we need to stand up, colleagues, and give them a standing applause, because we deserve it. I was outside, but let's do it again. I wasn't here.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. During the hurricane, both of them, I have a dear friend that lives in Houston, and I said, you know, come to Dallas, stay with me, so you won't have to suffer just the aftermath. And so she did. And it was quite ironic that she came to Dallas while our city employees went to help her neighborhood. And she was definitely very, very grateful for all your hard work and your dedication, your commitment to doing this. And as Mary said, hopefully that doesn't happen in Dallas, but if it does, we definitely know who we can turn to, at least to ask for some help. In addition, in our home front here, several of us got to tour the convention center, and we saw, you know, the shelter there. In my district, I had two recreation centers, Garweiler and Samuel Grand, also providing shelter and a roof over people's heads. So I definitely want to recognize them. And then we had Tommy Allen, also recreation center, providing shelter for those that were suffering in in the Houston-Galveston area. So while y'all were working very hard, we also had your partners in Parks and Recreation providing shelter for those people that you were helping. So thank you so much also to the Recreation Centers and to the Convention Center staff and everything for working together as a team, because that way we do definitely make a difference. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Just real quick, the 1.3 million Dallas citizens, y'all sure made us proud. You made us proud. From what I understand, when they got down there, it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks to do something, and you guys did it in 5 days. That's Dallas, Texas. That's Dallas, Texas. That's you guys and girls out there. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Just how proud. When I saw those trucks going out and the folks, and just how proud I felt. And then to hear back just how super job you guys have done. Thank you. It sure is good to see you down here.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Caraway, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me just say, it's what we spoke about the other day, Jerry, Councilman Allen, is attitude. And then his commitment. Let me first just take it from the top, Mary, to say to Mary, who's not sitting here, and also to Ryan, it shows the commitment that this city has, and it also shows this council and the people that we all serve, you and the city council, the commitment of our city employees. Not only did you have to uproot, to leave town, to leave your family, to go into another city, and to place yourselves in harm's way to help others, that is the reason that this city, Dallas, is number one, because of attitude, and then commitment as well. I applaud each and every one of you, because you had to leave your family to go and make sure that other families had help. And leaving your family, going into harm's way, because it was harm's way. You didn't know what to expect. Anything could have happened, and blessed that nothing did. But that's true troopers. And that's what we have in our city staff. And I'm speaking of every single department. There's no one department that's greater than the other. When you're an employee of the city of Dallas, we know that you have the heart of this city placed first. So I just want to commend you, but Mary, you know you're the trooper now. And it takes the lieutenants and the colonels and the generals and all those folks to put it all together. You are to be commended. And most of all of you guys, all of you, in every department, we appreciate you. And you are the reason that this city works. Because without you, we'd be standing still. But with you, we're going to continue to grow and continue to build and continue to be number one. Thank you.
Well said. Again, Mary, Randy, everybody, just a big thank you. I had occasion to actually be with Mayor White just a couple of days before the hurricane hit. We had talked about some of the preparation, those sorts of things. And Chloe, when you see the devastation, it goes beyond what you can anticipate. I've had conversations with him since, and he, as well as everybody in that entire region, have just been so appreciative of the efforts that you folks did. It made a big difference there. They recognized they could not be a long ways to go. Areas in Galveston, in Houston area, long ways to go, but they couldn't be at the position they're in today if they hadn't received an awful lot of help. And they are, as indicated by the official communications as well as those from the average citizens, are just so appreciative of what you all did. And we're just very proud. We just appreciate what you do. And again, it reinforces on a day-to-day basis, as Mr. Caraway said, how important you are, and as Mr. Allen said, how productive and efficient you are, because I know that that first effort in Houston, they had allocated quite a bit longer for you to accomplish the task, and all of a sudden it was accomplished and you were able to move on to something else. So again, thank you so very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let me give an overview of our session today, and then we'll go into the open microphone. After the open microphone, I'll go through the agenda. There are a number of items that will be pulled for individual consideration. We'll take the morning agenda and go till about 11:45, and then prior to lunch, we'll do an executive session. There's a couple different legal items that I'll read in, and then we'll move into lunch. Because of the Yom Kippur holiday, our goal is to be completed no later than 2 o'clock. So as we go through the various items, if you'll take that into consideration, just make comments as concise and precise as we can. With that, Madam Secretary, let's go to the open microphone, then I'll come back with you, Jesse.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Mayor, our first speaker is going to be Jamie Benefield, followed by David Jones. And while Mr. Benefield is coming forward, I'll recite the rules for speaking. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to the members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council, or while attending the city council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. You have 3 minutes to speak. You will see an amber light. That means you have 30 seconds, and the red light will mean stop. State your name and your address for the record.
My name is Jamie Benefield. I live at 5408 Victor Street in Dallas District 2. I know that none of you are excited to see me standing here today, but I am here to once again ask you to send Jenny the Elephant to the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee and to remind you that they have offered to transport her at no charge to the city of Dallas. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you this morning. I can assure you, I'm not happy to be here either, because every time that a speaker has to come down here, that means that Jenny is still suffering alone in her tiny enclosure in the zoo. Much has been said about transportation of an elephant, about the risk, about how it would be a dangerous ride for Jenny to take. So I wanted to talk to you today about the sanctuary's transportation methods, so that everyone knows how safe it would actually be. When the elephant sanctuary comes to take an elephant, their exceptional care and the knowledge that they have begins immediately. They send one of their people to work with the elephant. And that may take a long time, because when Jenny steps on that transport to go to Tennessee in a state-of-the-art trailer designed by UPS to go to Tennessee, it will be of her own free will. There will be no confinement. There will be no coercion. There will be no chains. In fact, from that point forward, ooh, I did this last time. Once she feels comfortable enough to step on that trailer, she will be free to make her own decisions for the rest of her life. The sanctuary has never lost an elephant in transport. And most of the elephants that have been sent to their care have been at death's door, and they have all arrived safely. So please, remember Jenny's condition. Sorry.
Take your time.
And please send her. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Our next speaker is David Jones, followed by Ernestine Anderson.
Good morning. My name is David Jones. I reside at 5739 Belmont Avenue. I also own a piece of property at 5522 Vanderbilt, which I purchased in 2006. I had originally intended to build my home for my family on this lot. I obtained a building permit in June of 2006 and commenced construction. We immediately discovered a 15-inch sanitary sewer line and a 16-inch storm sewer line running down the middle of my property. The permit was shortly thereafter revoked, and construction has been halted now for over 2 years. After months of attempting to reach a settlement with the city finally offered to let me build my house with the condition that I had to grant an easement that would indemnify the city from any damage that would occur to my property in the service or maintenance of these lines. This is a condition I couldn't accept, and I don't think anyone else would accept. You know, the possibility of selling my house later to someone was, you know, very limited, or I would have to take a deep accept a deep discount on the price to sell my house. With no hope of resolving the issue, we decided that we had to file a lawsuit against the city, which was filed in December of 2006. In an attempt to prevent the case from ever going to trial, the city filed a motion to dismiss the case claiming governmental immunity. Since then, we've had two trials, one in district court and one in the Court of Appeals, in which both were ruled in my favor. A further appeal to the Supreme Court was filed by the city, and now we're waiting on a decision on that. If I prevail, the case will finally then be heard in trial court, which I expect will take another 2 or 3 years to finally, you know, be resolved. The city's position is there's an implied dedication by the original developer back in the 20s, even though the original developer specifically reserved these lines in the plat. Based on this, the city claims to have a prescriptive easement. You know, I had no knowledge these pipes were here when I purchased the property, and in subsequent conversations with city engineers regarding the storm drainage in that area, no one ever mentioned to me these pipes ran through my lot. One requirement of a prescriptive easement is it must be open and notorious, and it's curious that the city states in its briefs that a reasonable person would have found these pipes doing due diligence when the city itself never knew these pipes were there. Now, while this suit has placed a great financial and emotional strain on my family, we intend to see it to the end. A similar case occurred in Austin in the 90s, Roberson versus Austin, and a developer, you know, had a sold a lot that had a sewer line, and they intended to dedicate this, never did, and the homeowner actually won. I'm frustrated, you know, I want this thing to be done. But the only thing I really want today is two things. One, I spent $3,400 on a permit, which wasn't refunded. There's a requirement that it has to be filed within 180 days, and I'm asking the city to waive this due to the strain it's been on my family at this time. The second thing is the city now needs to look into these other properties that have this same situation, and they need to address this issue so this doesn't happen to someone else. My family is currently out about $150,000.
Well, I'll take about 10 seconds, all right.
Okay, I'm done. My family's out $150,000 at this point, and I pray that this doesn't happen to someone else.
We appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Next speaker is Ernestine Anderson, followed by Annabella Ibarra.
In Texas where I was born. I'm going to talk about the Texas Department of Public Safety. When I got my license when I was 20 years old, 58 years ago, in Dallas, Texas. Now, it doesn't make sense for me to get on a door bus and train. But people want to fight and kill me. And I'm also a friend grandmother, Dwayne Calaway. We don't need you to go to talk and lie to the people. Now, I was born and raised in Dallas. My mom and dad came from Corpus, Texas. Thank God for Mary after Anderson. My mom, I'll be answer my daddy. Dallas said the system before. We don't need it. And especially when you tell the TRUTA. And told me of bitches and hoes and all that kind of stuff that I want to ever do. The Bible said everybody, contrary to God's blessing, is of the devil. And the book of John. I can't say I thank God for Pastor Fred Air yet. But God sent me to Southern Jesus 1997 to 1999. He would say, read the Bible for yourself. He told us to read the whole book of John. And that's in the book of John. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, God so loved the world that he gave me my only begotten son. Bobby's your grace, he's 30 years old now. Now, I don't need nobody to treat me like a dog. Don't want to hear right. Many times I said the Bible says, take the picture home. He said, oh, no, now you got to be. And I told my daughter, you're 33 years old now. I'll make sure they get fired. Teaching her alone. That's not at downtown college in Arizona. And my third daughter was going to school. And that's the one with Eva, isn't it? Find her by the driver's license plate. She got transferred. Now they go to the school. My kids went too. My great kids, two of them. And they tell my brother. You thank the Lord. If y'all don't get that mess straightened out with the people that drive the dog bus and train the employees and the customer service, and the people that ride the car with you, because the Bible says, he put my son had on his voicemail. The wrath of God going to come down on them people that did my mama wrong. Now, God showed me in the Bible. The Bible said, God got me with his eyes. The wrath of God will come down on them people with fire.
Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Our next speaker is Annabella Ibarra, followed by Tom Gibbons.
Good morning, young people, and thank you,
Mr. Gibbons, wait just a minute. You have someone before you, so don't have a seat.
Tom Gibbons,
and Miss Annabella Ibarra, will you please come down, please?
I apologize. I just heard my name.
No problem.
No problem.
No problem.
Good morning.
Raise the mic up, Ms. Ibarra. Thank you.
Okay. Can I pass these out? These are letters.
You can, sure, if you'll put security on the side.
Okay. Good morning, members of the council, and Mayor Tom Lefferts. My name is Annabelle Ibarra, and I live on 14647 Lassiter Road, number 33, Dallas, Texas, 75253. As a resident of Dallas, I come before you to talk about how it is important to have a major thoroughfare renamed after Cesar Chavez. Cesar Chavez, as many of you have heard, was a very important figure of the Latino community, not only for his contributions, but because of his determination. That is why I come before you with a message of determination. I am a volunteer of the Cesar Chavez Task Force, and I strongly support all their efforts in going forward with the renaming of Industrial Boulevard after Mr. Chavez. When I first heard about the survey, I was thrilled to participate in it, even more thrilled to know that a street could be named after a Hispanic leader, and who better than Cesar Chavez. I strongly agreed with the 52% of the voters who voted to have Industrial Boulevard renamed after Cesar Chavez. After we were told that Industrial was not possible, I was disappointed at the decision. I asked myself, how come Austin and Houston have a street honoring Mr. Chavez, but a beautiful city can't? I was very mad, but that anger turned into determination. A friend later told me about the Cesar Chavez Task Force, and I didn't wait to join their efforts. I wanted to help in whatever I could to honor such hero. When the option of Ross was proposed, my excitement was ignited once again. I even volunteered to walk down the blocks of Ross Avenue to gather signatures of supporters. Walking from block to block, I came to find out that the business owners and their employees approved the change. Because not only was it going to be beneficial to the community, but because we shared the same idea that the time has come to have a street named after a Hispanic leader. Although we had a lot of support, we also faced a few opponents. Some stood very strongly against the change, while others were willing to listen, something that brought me hope. After exchanging a few words, it seemed as if they changed their minds and were open to the idea. And even though Ross is out of the question, we are still following the following Cesar Chavez message of determination. Ultimately, our mission is to see a street in Dallas named after Mr. Chavez, and we won't give up until it happens. We have lost a few battles, but only God in time will determine our fate, as well as that of our city, if changes for better on a daily basis. Things such as streets sometimes have to change, so why can't we do that? Why can't we market the Trinity River Project with Cesar Chavez? He was one of the first environmentalists. He respected human life as well as human nature, and what better project than the Trinity River Project to reflect his legacy? As leaders, we must recognize the changes and be willing to embrace them. As a Latino, I want to feel respected and recognized here in Dallas because our community continues to...
Why don't you take 10 seconds and
Okay. Can summarize.
That is development and growth, and we'll continue to do so, and such deserves to be recognized.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Gibbons.
Dr. Garcia, please.
Mayor, very quickly, I just want to thank Ms. Ibarra, you know, for being here today, for telling us, you know, what makes her, you know, continue to work with the task force, or with the Cesar Chavez task force, to make a difference in the city. You know, how proud you are to be a Latina, and how important it is for you to have a name, a street name after a Latino as well. So thank you for being here. Thank you for taking time of your day. And thank you for all the letters of support that you wrote to this council. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your service.
Trustee, and congratulations on my name
Mr.
is Tom Gibbons. I live at 5029 Live Oak Street. I live at 5029 Live Oak Street, apartment number 31. The Ambassador Court since November of 2004. Previously, I lived in Sandy Grayson's district, but we had some problems with the utilities that she couldn't even respond to me about. But I'm here today because on the 26th of September, I was at 1717 Main Street, which is now Co-America Bank address. It used to be Bank One. They said they moved to Dallas to be part of our community on Channel 13 with Lee Cullum a couple of weeks ago. And the State Fair parade was going down the street around 12:30 this afternoon on the 26th of September. And the security guard told me that I could not stand on that sidewalk and walk back and forth with my briefcase and my sign to encourage people to boycott the presidential debate because Ralph Nader and the Green Party and other candidates were not allowed to be in the building or to participate in the presidential debate, even though they're on the ballot in 50 states, 49 and 45. But I said that this taxpayer paid for this property, and I will walk up and down it. He went and got a Dallas police officer who was in City of Dallas uniform. He claimed he was working for the bank, the people that own the bank, I mean, that own the building, and that he would not give me his name, would not let me use the restroom, told me he would give me a ticket. I said, give me tickets as high as this building, but I'm going to walk on this sidewalk owned by the taxpayers. When I said that, he put the handcuffs on me, cut my hand. I don't have feeling in this finger. I still have the blood on my pants where he cut my hand. And I still don't have his name or his badge number. I'm not going down to the new city hall to get his name and badge number because it should be on the paperwork that I was given when they arrested me on the 26th of September. And maybe there's somebody here that can figure out who that officer was and why I was arrested walking on the sidewalk, which the taxpayers of America, I'm sure the taxpayers outside Dallas that paid for that, that visit this town and that enjoy coming to Dallas. And I asked the people over there watching the parade to call Channel 4, to call the media, and find out why I was being arrested. When I was in jail, they told me I could get pretrial release for $20. I said, I'm not paying you 20 cents. I did nothing wrong. I spent 7 days in the county jail till 6 o'clock last Thursday afternoon. Maybe there could be a reason why I spent this time in the jail and an explanation given to me, who've been part of this community since February of 1973. Got 25% of the vote against Bobby Folsom in 1980. Spent $20 on the campaign. It's not the first time I was arrested. Judge Orvis had me in jail for 57 days for failure to appear because I wanted to defend myself. He said I failed to appear at Channel 13 and D Magazine both interviewed me and got me out of jail. But you never printed a word of broadcast.
You made
the thank you for your attention, and I hope I can get some answers.
We appreciate that.
And thanks for your service.
First of all, I'm sorry to hear of your experience. I know that parade was very successful, opening up the state fair. I would like to ask you, I think Chief Simpson would be happy to visit with you and kind of walk through the circumstances. If there's anything we can do, we would love to be able to address that. We're sorry for the circumstance you have, but without the facts, I think it's difficult for any of us, but the chief will visit with you. I
appreciate that, Mayor.
Yeah,
that's more than Sandy Grayson did because I've worked as a cab driver for 31 years, and I never figured out why we're not examined underneath the cab. The tension in the tie rod has never been answered, but I asked Sandy Grayson for it.
Chief will visit with you. Do you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Gibbons. Very quickly, please.
Yes, sir.
Once more, I did not quite. Why do you think you were arrested?
Very quickly, please.
I have no idea, Mr. Councilman. I have no idea. I had a sign that said boycott the, an orange sign that said boycott the presidential debate because Ralph Nader is invited.
Right.
I didn't bring a sign because I knew they wouldn't be allowed in the city council.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you.
For your
sorry it's happened. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, that brings our speakers to a conclusion for the morning session.
Yes, sir.
In regard to our session, we'll move into the agenda in just a moment. The first item is the minutes. Those have been distributed in advance. If I could have Dr. Garcia's moved it, Mr. Atkins seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. In regard to our agenda items, there were a number of items that were on the consent agenda that have been asked by individual members to be considered individually. I'll run through those just briefly. First of all, item number 3, Ms. Hill and Mr. Rozanski requested that be considered individually. That's item number 3. Item number 6, Mr. Rozanski requested that be considered individually. Item number 19, Mr. Rozanski. Item number 22, Mr. Rozanski. Item number 26, Mr. Rozanski. Item number 38, Ms. Koop asked that be considered individually. And then over on the addendum, Mr. Rozanski requested item number 2 on the addendum. Mr. Newman, Mr. Rozanski on item number 4, Mr. Rozanski on number 5, and Mr. Rozanski on number 7. In addition to that, Mr. Rozanski has a conflict on item number 10, so we'll consider that individually. So in summary then, the following items will be considered individually. Number 3, number 6, number 10, number 19, number 22, number 26, number 38, and then over on the addendum, item number 2, item number 4, 5, and 7. As I mentioned, we'll run till about 11:45, and then we'll go into our executive session before lunch. Any questions on that? Okay. Why don't we go ahead? I know that there's a couple of people in the audience. Let's begin with item number on the addendum, item number 7, and because...
Mr. Mayor, can we get a motion?
Mr. Newman has moved for approval of the consent agenda, and I assume that's the consent, and then, okay. And Mr. Cadena has seconded. Thank you very much. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Let's move to the individual items then. We'll begin with addendum item number 7, and because 7 and 10 on the addendum are linked, if you'll read those into the record together, we'll just deal with 7 and 10 together.
Okay. You're going to do what?
And on the addendum, item number 7 and 10 together, they're linked.
They're related. That's why we're going to say that.
Yeah, so we'll do 7 and 10 together, and then we'll come back.
Okay, moving to addendum item 7 and 10. Addendum item 7 is to authorize the First Amendment to the Performing Arts Center Development Agreement with the Dallas Center for Performing Arts Foundation related to design, construction, and development of the City Performance Hall underground parking garage, as well as long-term possession, operation, maintenance, and the use of the Performance Hall underground parking garage. Item number 10 is a resolution confirming that a public hearing was held on October the 1st, 2008 for the Dallas Performing Arts Cultural Facilities Corporation's Cultural Facilities Revenue Bond, as well as approving the Notice of Intent of the Dallas Performing Arts Cultural Facility Corporation related to Series 2008 bonds.
Mr. Rozanski, do you want to?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Cook, and I need an attorney in real estate stepping forward, please. Warren or Larry or someone. Mayor, thank you for putting 7 and 10 together because I was going to do it myself. 7 is an amendment for an operation agreement for a 600 car underground parking. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, because I incorporated 10 in here and it's for a 600. I want to wait till Larry here if I do need Larry. Just want to make sure one thing. This agreement, it is no cost to the city whatsoever. They are to take care of the maintenance and everything associated with the operating the underground parking. Is that correct?
That is correct, Councilman.
Is this agreement going to be filed for record?
There will be.
The reason I am saying that I have no idea if they're going to put a lien on this. I have no idea if they're going to put a lien on it. If they are going to put a lien on it, I want to make sure the lien holder recognizes that. It doesn't matter, because if it's ever foreclosed on, which I know it's not going to, they will still have the right.
Yes, Councilmember, there was a memorandum recorded with the original use agreement, and there will be a memorandum with this First Amendment.
A memorandum. Is it going to be filed for record?
Yes, sir.
My second question. They are going to buy, this is going to be insured, the bond is going to be insured MBIA. Is that correct?
Yes.
And it's going to be backed up with the pledges that BCPA have, is that correct?
Yes, just like the original bonds.
My question to you is, let's hypothetically say MBIA fails. They would not be the only Oregon. Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Oh, I'm sorry. This refunding will not be insured by MBIA.
Well, I was told it would.
I'm sorry. Yes, sir. I was mistaken.
Oh,
we do have letters of credit from the banks.
Yes, and I see that Moneyline has that the MBI has constantly been downgraded to A2, because I was going to bring that up. So it's a non-insured, as you and I talked earlier. I thought it was insured.
Instead, we have letters of credit from Bank of America and J.P. Morgan Chase.
Okay, so it's not insured, and it's going to be backed up by DCPA funds dedicated only to this garage. Is that correct?
No, this bond refunding is not for the garage. It's for the Performing Arts Foundation's portion of the main project. We originally went through a process a couple of years ago, and facilitated the issuance of bonds of this $160 million so that they could finance their portion of the project.
Okay.
This is simply refunding those same bonds and reissuing under a different format.
Okay. Let's hypothetically say, and those bonds are being paid with DCPA proceeds. What else are they backed up by?
The letters of credit by Bank of America and J.P. Morgan Chase, and the Performing Arts Foundation pledge commitments, if you
okay.
will.
So DCPA, those are pledges over how many years, please, ma'am?
Five year pledges, Mr. Lyman.
5 year pledges, and when they get the money, are they going to be paying the bonds down or putting it in an account, or how is that going to be handled? Nobody knows.
The bonds have a life.
Okay. Good morning. The expert is here. I'm asking you to do one thing. Would you mind raising the microphone?
Sure.
You're extraordinary tall.
My name is John Leatherburn with Benson & Elkins.
Oh, okay. My question, as I'm looking out right here for the city,
yes.
The city-owned property.
Yes.
The bonds are going to be secured by...
They're going to be secured by the revenues of DCPA as a gross revenue pledge, the pledges that are currently backing.
And
DCPA.
If they default,
if
the bondholders have what?
If the bondholders if the bonds default because they're backed initially by a direct pay letter of credit, the actual payments of principal and interest are made.
Under these conditions, I have to be concerned about bank letters of credit.
Absolutely.
When a bank, as you know, when a bank fails,
yes.
They have the right to, they do not have to honor the letter of credit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what would
everybody
happen,
understand
you would,
that.
You would fall back to the DCPA, and if DCPA were unable to pay,
yes.
Then there would be a default under the bonds, but no property of Dallas would ever go to the
I
bond.
I want to make sure. I want to make sure that the properties that the fee is not in jeopardy.
No, these bonds are not secured by city-owned property. These bonds are solely secured by the letters of credit that will be put up, the direct pay letters of credit, and the DCPA.
You have answered my question. I move for approval.
Second.
Thank you. Sorry to get everyone down with these questions. Thank you.
And Mr. Zansky, I just want to clarify, it is both addendum item 7 and addendum item 10.
Excuse me, 7 and 10 move for approval.
Then moved by Mr. Zansky, seconded by Dr. Garcia. Dr. Garcia, did you have a comment?
Well, Mayor, I just wanted to say that I'm pleased to see this project moving forward. I know Mr. Lively and some of the people of the board are here today. This was briefed to quality of life, and it was passed unanimously to bring it to council. As you know, Mayor, the garage, you know, is going to be managed, you know, maintained, utilities, everything by Stella Center for the Performing Arts, which is great. We don't get into that business. And at the same time, it's going to be 256 spaces that is going to take care not only of the city facility that we're going to have there, but also Booker T. Washington, which as it is right now, we're having a lot of problems with all the construction that they have over there. So this is going to really help when it comes to parking in downtown. Plus, it's underground. So I believe that that's going to help, you know, for the mixed-use development of the area. And as far as the bonds, I think Mr. Rosensky asked very good questions, but also in 2006, the corporation already issued $150 million on this project. So they've been great partners. It's the contract that we start working since 2002, Mr. Lively, more or less. This has been very public. It has been briefed. It has been posted. It has been go to every single committee from finance and audit to quality of life. So I feel very comfortable, Mayor, that this is the future of the City of Dallas. Congratulations to Dallas Center for the Performing Arts and all their hard work. I move it and second with gusto. Thank you.
Terrific. Again, appreciate it. This item is one that is a continuing effort at the Dallas Center for Performing Arts. I think we're all excited about what's happening there, Mr. Lively, and all your board, what's happening there. I think there's an awful lot of excitement. That entire area, I know most of us were out at the King Tut exhibit, which is opening now, which everybody's excited about. And clearly in another 11 months-ish, somewhere in that range, we'll have the finest arts district anywhere in the nation. So we are very excited about this. This is another important item in that. And I'm just appreciative both to the city staff and everybody that was involved with the Center for Performing Arts that worked through a number of logistical and tactical issues and that sort of thing to get to this point. So we appreciate it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. What we'll do is we'll go to item number 3. Let's do item number 3 because I'm going to lose Ms. Hill and then we'll come back to that. Thank you, Mr. Newman. Item number 3, please.
Item number 3 is a 12-month master agreement for the purchase of smoke detectors for homeowners.
Regular agenda item number 3.
Excuse me. Item number 3, regular item number 3. It's a 12-month master agreement for the purchase of smoke detectors for homeowners.
Okay. Ms. Hill, would you like to begin?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. I ask for this to be considered individually, not because I have any problem with it whatsoever, colleagues, but because I wanted to call the public's attention to this. This is, and I'm going to ask Mr. Dave Cook to come up and make sure that I get the explanation correct. This item allows us to purchase smoke detectors, and Dallas Fire Rescue will provide and install those smoke detectors free of charge for anyone who calls. And I want our citizens to be aware of that. I see the fire department is here and Mr. Cook. So, Chief, I call Mr. Cook. But Chief, why don't you talk about this for me, please?
Thank you very much. This is a wonderful program that we've had going for several years now. We're fortunate to have grant funding for the purchase of these detectors, and these are for people who live in single-family homes or duplexes. It does not cover multifamily because we have the landlords supply those kind of detectors for that. But these are 10-year lithium-powered batteries that are tamper-proof. So we do install however many detectors each home needs to properly protect it based on NFPA standards.
And this is entirely free to our citizens, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Both for the detector and for the installation.
Yes, ma'am.
The only thing they have to do is call 311 and ask for it.
Yes, ma'am. And someone in uniform from the fire department will show up at the home with the detectors and install them at absolutely no cost.
this is one of the best ways that anybody can think of to help with fire prevention, and it is absolutely critical, particularly in homes where there might be children. And so I want to say to all of our citizens, please, please take note of this. Call 311, and Dallas Fire Rescue will be there. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Mayor.
No, I'm glad you reinforced that. That was an excellent point. Mr. Zanzi?
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Council members, shows on here council districts all. What I want to know is, how is everyone in the city of Dallas going to know about these smoke detectors that are available? Are we going to maybe put them in stuffers in our Dallas waterworks? Or I want to make sure that north, south, east, and west residents know that these are available. So how are we going to tell the citizens of Dallas these are available at no charge?
We've done this several ways.
I know we have.
And we have a lot of brochures that we exhibit at town hall meetings. We have a bus advertisement actually coming up, so that on the bus it will have the advertisement of the 311.
I'm sorry, you have what coming up?
We have a advertisement being placed on the DART bus, so that it will go throughout the city and everyone will see the advertisement.
Okay. Keith, in due all respect, not everybody in all districts ride DART buses. So I want this to be equally on all districts, all over the city of Dallas. And my residents and my constituents do not know about this, because the last town hall meeting that I had, Mr. Cook was there, something was mentioned very lightly about this, and said, I didn't know about this. It is only fair that something be done where everyone knows about it. So I want to reassure you, not everybody from all districts ride the DART buses.
Yes, sir, and we will make a concerted effort to make sure that we get the information out and that we're available at all town hall meetings to answer any questions and provide the information.
Well, town hall meetings, if each district has 90,000 people, and town hall meetings usually produce 10 to 200, that, to me, is not a correct way to do it. I would like you to try and see if this could be put in the Dallas Waterworks field. Unfortunately, if you do this, you might not have enough smoke detectors to go around. But we have to do something to make sure that all districts know about this.
And I would agree with you completely, and we will follow up on that suggestion and try to find some more creative ways to get the message out.
Thank you very much, Chief. Thank you, both of you. Thank you.
Dr. Garcia?
Thank you, Mayor. And this is something that the fire department has been doing for many, many years, educating the community and helping in making the community safer as well. And, I just wanted to say that in this month, that is Fire Prevention Month, it's just great to see this item coming forward. I know that we will have a special recognition, Mayor, for the fire department next week. In our agenda, and I think that the fire department has done everything that it has been possible to be sure that this program is advertised, considering that it's not a new program, that it has been in the works for many years. But if they don't drive or they don't take DART, you can always see it also in the website of the Fire Police Department, in the city website, in the crime watches, in the town hall meetings, and in many other events, public events like the Sioux event that Mr. Newman and I have at the Sioux. The fire department was there and had information about this program as well. So you don't have to take DART, you don't have not to drive, not to be aware of this program. But thank you, Judge Hill, for bringing it forward. I think it's great, and I encourage everyone that needs a fire detector, that wants a fire detector, to contact the fire department and get one. How many do we have? How many households did we do last year?
We installed over 7,000 detectors last year.
So that is a big number, colleagues, and I'm telling you, people do know about it. So I am delighted that we have it again, and I encourage everyone, you know, to post it in your website, post it in our website, and probably we can also ask PIO to do a press release, Chief, if you can send the information,
so Naval Associations, yeah, can have additional information on this program. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hussein. Ms. McCullough.
I'll move for approval.
Thank you, Mayor. Just Saturday.
Goodbye, Dr. Go ahead.
Just that last Saturday, we were at, I joined Mr. Caraway in a neighborhood cleanup, and the fire department was out there educating the neighborhood that was doing the cleanup, and they were going door to door installing the smoke detectors, and that wasn't the first time I've seen them. I've seen them at the cleanups that I've had and backpack giveaways that we've had in neighborhoods. All we have to do as council members is to let the fire department know, and they are there. I'm a witness. They have been there at least 8 events that I've been to, so they're out there and they're willing to do it. So I appreciate it, and thank you, Ms. Hill, for bringing this up.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Mr. Howard, please.
Education is obviously the key in prevention with the smoke detectors. Just last Saturday, I had the opportunity to go through the smokehouse, which, ladies and gentlemen, if you do not know about, I think most of you do, but that's the education process where we go out, take these out to the schools, out to the kids. It's called the smokehouse. Being a good old Southern boy, I thought maybe it'd be some hanging meat in there, but this was a great education for kids. But something as simple as when you sleep at night, keep your door closed, and then if you hear the smoke alarm go off, touch the door first. You learn these things early on, but again, I think that's one of the reasons our Dallas Fire Department is rated as high as it is. Thanks for what you're doing.
Dr. Garcia moved it. This is item number 3. Ms. Hill seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. We'll go to addendum item number 5. Addendum item number 5.
Addendum
item number 5.
Addendum item number 5, Mr. Mayor, is a supplemental agreement number 2 to the development agreement with the Woodall Rogers Park Foundation related to a reduction in budget construction cost of approximately $11,300,000, reallocation of phase 2 work to phase 3, and an additional $10 million in funding secured for the Texas Department of Transportation. In addition, reflects design and pre-construction cost contributions and contractual obligations made by the foundation in excess of $8 million. It reflects the obligation of the foundation to fund all costs in excess of the cities and TxDOT.
Terrific. Mr. Zemke.
Colleagues, thank you. I think we should all be paying attention on this particular one that is going to cost the city of Dallas $1,195,000,000. $1,195,000,000 over a 95-year period if all the options are exercised. And I saw somebody looking, how could this possibly? Well, it doesn't say this, but there is a maintenance agreement for the maintenance of underneath to amount to $750,000 a year. It doesn't mention this in here. That will come later after we approve this. That was approved earlier, $750,000 for the maintenance underground. That means that our future children and grandchildren will have to pay $750,000 minimum for the upkeep of that. If you take that over the whole length at a 4% interest added on to that, this was going to cost us. That's almost $1,200,000,000. And who should be paying for that? I'm going to quote one gentleman by the name of Jody Grant, who made a statement that this is up next to our building. Our building will increase 25%. 25%. And that was a statement made in front of Chris Heinbaugh, who is the mayor's administrative assistant. Mayor, I do have that quote when he said that. So I'm having a big concern about individuals and buildings that this is going to help, and it's going to cost the citizens of Dallas a tremendous amount of money. But let's get to what's on the table now. What's on the table now is part of a bond issue that the voters voted on for $20 million for this project, in which I campaigned on this particular thing that I thought it was okay, because the private sector was going to put up X number of dollars. Now, let's make it very clear, the private sector came to us to say this is something we want, and that we will deposit funds with you on phase one and phase two in advance before any work is done. Now, the funny part about this has got to be the first public works project in the universe that has come down in cost from when it was originally planned. So that I've got a problem with. Why did it drop, where's my note, 17.28%? Now, colleagues, if it dropped 17.28% in cost, the $20 million bond issue should be cut back by 17.28%, or about $3.5 million. That is only right, and that money should be either going to other public parks or something else, not for the enrichment of the people who have the buildings around the park. Now, people are going to say, well, it's going to bring in tax dollars to the city with this. Well, the buildings are already there. They're already built. I don't see how that's going to happen. If the cost has gone down 17.28%, then everything else should go down. The taxpayers' amount and everything else. They are asking for X number of dollars, 700 deposits. They have to deposit with the. Who is Warren? Warren, are you here? Or Paul? Paul, I've looked. When this first came up, I pulled everything, including the administrative order that you signed here with the city secretary, which I find it very deceiving on my part. Nothing against you, but what you said in here, what you filed, administrative file number 082655, this was returned on September 26th. If none of y'all have ever seen administrative action, it says there's five or six things to check why we're having it, and it's $25,000 to $50,000. It says he has checked other explanations, modification of development agreement. And it says delete the sentence that currently reads, prior to the awards of phases 1 and 2, the WRPF shall raise and deposit with the city $2,605,000 to cover its portion. Well, the funny part about that, in our work, that's not in here. You didn't put that in here. And the council members deserve to see that. Paul, do you recognize
that? The original administrative order, the original contract for the civil work and utility work.
Whatever the original
was
said, it should be in here. It should be in here what we're looking at. You only talk about one sentence. You should have said the other one where it says delete the sentences where they're going to raise and deposit $2,605,000. How much have they deposited with the city, or how much do you expect before you do phase one and two? How much do you expect to have in your hand?
Okay. Phase one, if you, I know you talked to Mr. Ernst this morning, the city attorney who guided us in this administrative action, and we believe it's perfectly legal. It actually authorizes us to spend less than you previously authorized us in the first agreement.
Paul, it might be legal, but it's not ethical what we have done to the taxpayers and the people who have voted for these bonds. I understand, but I don't like when somebody is saying something that isn't right.
Mr. Zansky, that may be your opinion.
It's not my opinion. It's important. Do you want me to read it to you, Mayor?
No, I think he deserves the opportunity to finish his answer.
I have before me a copy of the original contract approved by this council.
So do I.
And the original contract says phase one utilities would expend $2,290,000 by the city and $790,000 by the foundation. which was about a 4-to-1 match, our match to their match. That was the original Phase 1 contract. We came back and said, Phase 1 is not going to cost that much. We want to go forward with a small project early on, so let's match that 60-40, which is the total match up until to the end of our money. And so that money then became their cost share would be, in that Phase 1 contract, $300,000, and ours would be $450,000. So basically, we actually asked them to spend far less, and we spent even much less than that on this Phase 1 contract. So all the administrative action did was say, we want to go forward with a segment of what was authorized by council with them spending more percentage-wise than the original contract.
Paul, do you agree the bond issue was for $20 million for this?
Yes, sir.
Do you agree it's now coming in 11.7 million in savings?
Correct.
That's 17.28% savings. If it's coming in for 17% less, the bonds need to be cut back 17.28%, and everybody put in their amount of money proportionately. I will agree to that. Believe me, I did this at 4 o'clock this morning. It was 17.28%. The bonds need to be cut back. The taxpayer, this is a problem people have with the city. When they're told one thing on a bond issue, and then we do something else. If it's running $3.5 million less, take the $3.5 million, come back to the city council and say, look, I want to improve the parks somewhere else. I'm not going to vote for it being on this project because it's coming in 17.28% less.
That feels like a good news. The good news is
when it's finished, they guarantee
everything over the cost we originally projected. They're the ones that were exposed beyond $20 million, not the city and not TxDOT. They went out and raised another $10 million from the state of Texas, which meant that...
I understand, from taxpayers' money.
Correct, but they were the ones that raised that money to reduce their effort. Now, they said all along...
The state of Texas and the taxpayers paid. That's beside the point. I'm talking about the bond issue that's 17% less. It needs to be cut back. I talked to Warren this morning, and he said, you know, it's interesting that you brought that up. We did discuss that. But let me tell you, this is wrong, wrong, wrong. This is why people here have a problem with City Hall. I don't have a problem with this. But also, are they going to put the money up front on Phase 1 and Phase... How much have they deposited with the city?
They have spent $8 million in design fees.
I don't care. That's not what you...
That's credited toward the total project. They have spent $8 million in design fees.
Sir, it says deposited with the City of Dallas, Phase 1 and 2. Okay? The other phases is an irrevocable letter of credit.
You're correct. Had we gone forward with the design...
I'm correct.
You're correct. Had we gone forward and we spent our money early, we would have been expending at this point $4 million. We've spent nothing to this point.
We have matched them
dollar for dollar to this point.
Yeah.
We would have expended $4 million and they would have spent $4 million.
What's happened. The project came in less. It needs to be proportionately less. And they need to come up with the cash in advance as they said they would and how this was presented to us earlier. Black and white, I have it here.
If I may, this project now, what this is asking your approval for is the first contract for the deck park, the actual construction of the structure and the amenities will be $20 million from TxDOT, $20 million from the City of Dallas, and $15.879 million in cash and other letters of credit from
the state of Texas, and I'm going to write letters to my representatives and to my leaders and the governor that they need to cut this back since it's costing less.
So in November we will send to the state TxDOT $20 million from the city, $16 million from Woodall Rogers Deck Park.
Why don't you try to renegotiate that in spending instead of spending? If it's coming in less, we don't need to spend $20 million, Paul. We don't need to do it. We absolutely do not need to do it. You know, you signed this administrative action. Did this come back to any council briefing about this costing less? Hello?
That's what we're bringing to you today, sir.
Did it come back to a briefing?
Administrative actions do not come to the council.
I figured that. And that's why I brought it up.
Because
it was wrong what we were doing. You bring it up. We have not had a chance for this to come to a briefing session, which it should do instead of ramrodding this down to the citizens of Texas and Dallas. This is $3.5 million savings. We don't need to send the state $20 million. The project is coming in less. Why should we send them? That's like going and building a building and getting a deed of trust on a piece of property and telling the bank it's going to cost X, but it costs $4 million less. The bank's not going to be very happy about funding that money and pocketing it. And that's what we're doing. We're letting other people, we're not pocketing, but other people are not paying their fair share. It's wrong what we're doing, and I would like to see what the final cost is this. You know, for a public works project to come in 17% less than it was originally planned, that's unheard of. So I wonder if the prices were inflated to begin with planning that this to happen. I hope not. Of course, I have a devious mind anyhow when it comes to taxpayers' money. So, I know the vote's going to be 14-1, but let me tell you, I've said my piece here, and it's wrong not to cut this bond issue back. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, thank you, Paul. Help me to understand what is going on. I'm going to give you the time to talk about what you need to talk about. So kind of tell me what's going on.
Basically, the Downtown Parks Master Plan considered four parks in the core and in Woodall Rogers Park.
Mm-hmm.
We asked for partners to step forward and help us with this. We asked the private sector to help us
mm-hmm.
to the extent that they could. We have had one donor that has matched our funds. In this case, it was Belo Park, which will be starting construction next year. That's a one-for-one match. In some cases with park projects, we get a one-for-two match or one-for-three or 3-1, but we ask for folks to step up and help us.
Okay.
What Woodall Rogers Park Foundation said, we would like to help the city so the city doesn't have to spend $40 million of city money.
Oh, okay, based on the foundation, how much did they raise?
Right now they've raised $16 million with a pledge to raise another $25 million. We asked them to help us with this.
Okay.
They're under no obligation. This is private money given by donors and friends of the community, the city of Dallas. And so this is a gift to the city. We would be doing this project. We would ask the voters for $40 million if we were going to do this project ourselves, which we initially thought we would do.
And this project was part of what bond package? What
the 2006 bond program.
So it's part of the 2006 bond package.
Okay. Because they stepped up, we reduced our allocation from $40 million to $20 million in our ask.
So we are saving some money.
We're saving the $20 million to begin with and $25 million for the amenities that are pledged in the future packages that they're doing. So this is a considerable savings to the city of Dallas.
Okay, so how much savings are we? How much money are we saving? That's why.
Right now, on the first contract, we're saving $15.879 million. That's what they're giving to us from the private sector.
Okay.
And then from that point on, they'll be coming back, and they have pledged for future phases to the extent of another $25 million after we finish the base park, and those pledges come out over the next 5 years.
Okay. Now, since this is a bond that was voted by the citizens, do we attach these type of bonds here at City Hall announcing where they can go read this information? If a citizen wanted to come down and read any of these changes, do we have anywhere where they can read this information?
The proposition wording doesn't reflect the match funding typically.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
Okay. On the deck plaza, who will be responsible for keeping, once it's finished, who's going to be maintaining the deck plaza?
Pretty good question. The numbers we had from TxDOT were $500,000 to $750,000 a year, which they thought were very conservative. It could be less than $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cost of maintaining the lights and evacuation system. the cost for maintaining the top portion of that is about $1.5 million, and the foundation has agreed contractually to take care of that for the next 99 years. So whatever calculation that you apply to the cost for what's underneath the deck, the top portion is going to be at least twice, if not three times that much.
And I have not saw the agreement. So the foundation has agreed to take care of the top part of the deck for the next 99 years?
Correct, which is two to three times as much as the cost of what the lower portion would cost.
So what would be the city responsibility? Any?
City's responsibility to maintain the exhaust systems and the lighting systems in the tunnel itself.
Okay, okay, which is good. Okay, now, okay, thank you so much, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson. Mr. Carroway, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Paul, let me just ask you a couple things. This was briefed for the park board.
Yes, sir. And the original contract was briefed before the council as well.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was briefed before the park
board. Yes, sir, it was.
Okay, and we all have park board appointees. That board full.
Yes, sir.
It is. So we all have a park board appointee.
Yes, sir.
And most appointees, when there's a concern of some nature, they would kind of brief individual council members should they feel necessary to do so.
That's correct.
You know, I sit here because today, you know, we celebrate and we brag on our city employees. And those that went to Houston and how great they are, and we tell them about the attitude and all that. You know, it's if, and I'll just speak for myself, when I have a concern or a major concern, I'm speaking to my colleagues, it's a certain way how I just feel that we handle it. I hate to see you be badgered at the podium in the public when we could have taken care of that elsewhere to the degree that it was. Not that my colleague is wrong with his assessment. He may have valid concerns. But I'm going to always speak up and speak my opinion to whoever like it and don't like it. It's coming. So my point is that we should make sure that, one, we are due to have the information requested. Okay? But at the same token, I just caution the fact that we shouldn't beat up people, and we should allow you the opportunity to give a proper response. We owe that to you just as being a person and an employee and being asked a question. So I want to just kind of throw that out there. To say that it's in this particular forum is not one that I support getting into confrontation back and forth when we can go in the back room or wherever it is and choke each other's neck and do whatever we have to do, but come out and be fair with the process. I want to say that. I just want to be on record about it, because the only way we're going to know what's happening and the only way we're going to get answers is that you are allowed to answer. And we may not like your answer, but we at least owe the respect of hearing what you have to say.
Mr. Atkins, please. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Again, Dwayne, you, I agree with you. But one thing that we as council people here today, and I keep going back, and it's kind of said to me, is that when we reach agreement and we reach something coming to city council on today, that the background, you know, in May 07, I was not here, so I was not aware of this situation. And I do kind of agree to Mitch, but I also agree that we should give you opportunity to explain the rules and procedures. Also, Mayor, that, you know, sometimes that when you have council and we have retreat, sometimes, you know, some of the colleagues need to know the procedures, the administrative action, how the process. And sometimes when you do not know the process, then you wonder why that we got a $20 million figure there and we save $15 million, whatever number we save. We need to know the procedures. And even though we have appointees on the park board. But it's still live with the council, with me, to make sure that we are brought up to speed. Some park board appointees might be aware of the finance or how to look at that, but also it's still going to come to the council. And one thing Paul and Mitchell was talking about this, doing administrative action, when you do change the process, do it state in the charter that we as council would not get copy of administrative action? It goes straight back to the park board. Can you explain that to me briefly, how this works when you try to delete a sentence or something from the contract?
Right. The administrative actions are processes that either allowed by council or that don't materially change the contract. They're processes that are allowed to the administration by the city council. That's contracts less than $25,000 or contracts that operate under agreement approved by the council, which operate within the context of the authority given by the council. In this case, the council authorized about $3 million for phase one. We said, we're going to change that to $700,000. So we didn't do anything other than just reduce the amount. The $20 million that you're referring to and the $15 million contribution by the Woodall-Rogers, actually $16 million, is now before you as a council-approved item, but the administrative action only changed a very small contract for about $700,000 to get started early on the utilities.
And that, I guess on page three, that the background, you know, from the $300,000 and Mitch referring to 40% deposit, is that calculation is correct?
I'm sorry?
On page three, the first paragraph of 40% deposit.
Right. They have given us a check for $300,000. We have that in the bank, and we're matching that with our $400,000 to go forward. Now, this contract will be approved by this council next month. We just asked for the authority to go forward with the bidding process, but the actual award of a contract of that size will have to be approved by this council. We'll be coming back to you for your award for the construction in the next 30 days from Public Works.
Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Appreciate that. Mr. Matinsky, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Paul, can you just very briefly walk through, uninterrupted, as to the perspective of the total project once we get to the finish line? Is anything being left out of the project? And just a quick overview, because there seems to be some misconception that through this cost-saving, things are not going to be done the way they were originally agreed to, and that's not my understanding.
Okay. Originally, the structure and the base park, which we asked the foundation, we're going to go forward with this, and you're going to help fund it. We need for you to help fund it through the base park, which would include the grass, the trees, the sidewalks, the plazas, everything about the park that was just in the base element and all the structures that supported that park. That cost was some $67 million. So our cost was $20 million. The state's at that time was $10 million. And the foundation's cost was $37 million. Because they were able to go to Austin and secure another $10 million grant from TxDOT, that dropped to $27 million. Then they were able to, because of the engineering and the box beams that support this deck, came in at a level of $11 million under budget, which was phenomenal. That meant that their cost was about $16 million. They said, we, by this contract, have guaranteed you we'll give you $20 million in cash. But a lot of that is pledges. If we give you $20 million in cash, we have to go out and put up letters of credit and pay the interest on that for the next 2 to 3 years while this first phase, the first four phases are finished. At the completion of those first four phases, they will have paid several hundred thousand, maybe more, in just financing money that's in the bank that they need to finance. So they said, please allow us to go back and give you the cash necessary to build the base park. Now, after having said that, all these savings now are going, and they're already starting the design process of the amenities package, which includes a four-star restaurant, a water feature that's very, it's an art piece. They're also funding a gazebo. They're funding the dog park, the children's park. A lot of amenities are being pledged by donors in the city of Dallas, and those donors are very excited about that because these are things they can attach names to and sell very easily. That's an additional $25 to $35 million, which they've pledged to do once the base park's finished, that they're taking that money they have now and they're going forward with that design So at the end of the day, we'll have something on the order of an $80 million park, but it won't be just a base park. It will be a base park with all the amenities. And so I think this is the best, this is the best news project we've ever had with the city of Dallas, because we would have had to fund just the base park. We're not having to fund all of it, number one. And number two, the foundation is adding amenities to make this a world-class park.
Okay, thank you, Paul. To Mr. Caraway's comment with regard to the, I'm going to come back to the funding in just a second, but to, in regards to the park board, they were thoroughly briefed. I know I, as Mr. Caraway indicated, when issues come up at the park board, those of us that have appointees, if there's a red flag or any concern, we usually hear from them. And I know, what was the vote at the park board to recommend this?
It was unanimous.
Unanimous, yes. Okay. Let's come back to the money. What I'm hearing you say confirms what I heard before. In a sense, the total amount of money being spent on the park is indeed being spent on the park. It's not as if somebody is taking the savings and walking away with it and not fulfilling their commitment. All you're doing is you're moving it, you might say, to another section on the line. The money is still going to be spent on the park. The total dollars, in effect, remains the same.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So nobody's getting shortchanged on this. And I just don't see all the concern that's been voiced with regards to the fact that the construction of the beam section, the support section, came in below, because the money that they're saving there is going to enable them to build quickly and or more quickly the items that they had on the list that they would have had to go out and raise additional money. So the total amount of money being spent, dedicated, and used by the citizens of Dallas once this park is done is going to be the same. And I don't know if there's a motion on the floor, Mr. Mayor, but I'm certainly going to move approval. Thank you.
Been moved. It's been seconded. Dr. Garcia.
Thank you, Mayor. And, well, Mr. Matinsky, I think, brought up pretty well, and Paul, you did an excellent, you know, briefing about this. How much money, if I understood correctly, Mr. Dyer, you just said that we're going to have a park that probably will be valued more than $80 million, and the city park will only be $20 million. Which is what the citizens of Dallas approved in the last bond package for this park.
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
TxDOT would put another 20, and the rest will be raised privately by the foundation.
$43 million private.
We're getting a very good deal on this for what we're going to have. Now, how much money have we spent to date on this, the city of Dallas money?
We spent nothing.
Nothing. How much money has the foundation already spent on this project?
$8,253,000.
So the item we have in front of us, Mr. Dyer, pretty much is great. What I consider good news, the cost is going to be less, right? And
right.
What they're asking us is to go ahead and allow them to put part of the money in notes rather than put it up front. Can you explain to me exactly what is the part that they're asking us to do?
Okay. What they're asking is that whatever cash is required by TxDOT, which will come in November, we'll send our money along with TxDOT's money, the balance required to award that contract. They'll send that money in cash to TxDOT at that time. TxDOT won't even begin bidding until they get that cash in hand. The second part of it is, which is the actual deck park itself that goes on top of the structure, that is estimated to be $3,223,000. We're asking for an irrevocable letter of credit for that amount to make sure at the end of that project we can build that deck park. And beyond that, they're already starting their design costs for Phase 5, which is $3,135,000, which will build out the amenities, the restaurant, the water feature, the sculptures that I mentioned, the amphitheater, all those elements that are enhancements over and above the base park. That's already being designed as we speak, and they're already contributing money toward that, and they have pledges. They already have pledges for some of those amenities, which will come out in the next 3 to 4 years.
Well, I think this is great news. I'm glad that the cost has gone down. I don't think I have seen any project in which the cost has gone down, and still people are really excited about this. This is going to be a wonderful asset to the city and a connector with the Dallas Center for the Performing Arts downtown, and of course we hope to have that law school in downtown pretty soon. So this is exciting news. I'm sorry to hear the argument of done if you do, done if you don't, because in my opinion this is a great project. It's a public-private partnership. Where's the partnership by the
public sector is very limited and the private sector is really footing most of the bill. And I'm glad to see that. I think that's great for the citizens and the taxpayers of the city. Mayor, I am going to support this item very gladly. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Steele. Mr. Allen, please.
Mr. Grant, would you come to the microphone?
Thank you very much. I think it would be appropriate to do an introduction. This is Jody
Grant. Right.
Jody, do you want to go ahead?
Well, I think the man speaks for himself from the standpoint of your reputation and what you've done for this city. I just want to take this time to say thank you. That's a lot of money you've raised. You got a lot of things on your plate, don't you? You got a lot of things you could be doing. And this park that we're going to do downtown is going to be an absolutely asset to this great city. But we could not have done it on our own. We had to go out to private citizens such as yourself. You had to raise that money, go out there and bring that in. I think so far you've got, what, $16 million? You're going to hustle, and I use the word hustle. That's what it takes. You're going to hustle, what, another 25?
That's right.
Hustle doesn't mean to go out there like Cool Hand Luke. Hustle means run hard and bring it in because it's a good project. And I just want from my heart just say thank you for men like you for what you've done for this city and what you're going to continue to do for this city. You've helped make us what we are. And it's that expertise that you bring to this because you're looking at every single way you can to figure out how to reduce that cost so that you can put more in that park. Is that right?
That is exactly right.
That's what expertise is. That's what character's about. So thank you for what you've done, and not just for this park again, but for the city of Dallas, what you've done. And then all those other donors you've helped and brought in, you know, let them know how much we appreciate it because that's what makes this city what it is today. So thank you, Mr. Grant, for what you've done.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
We'll limit this to two rounds, and we'll finish the first round first by going to Mr. Cadet.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Also, thank you.
Excuse me?
Your second round.
As I said, you've already spoken, so we'll finish the first round before we go to the second round.
You're right, Mayor. Excuse me.
Mr. Cadet, please continue.
I'm sorry, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Grant. You're right, Jerry. And that's what makes our city great. Our public-private partnerships. We're working together, and it's something that all of us want, and we make it happen. And Mr. Dyer, thank you for finding that extra money to complete things that we could not have done if we didn't have it. And I think it's excellent that we did get the extra money. Mr. Grant got that. So this is going to be a great connector. We need it. And we needed to bring the entire city together. So I don't see that we've done anything but improve what we had. And we're out no more money than what we originally said we would be. So thank you all very much. And you continue what you're doing. Thank you, Mr. Grant.
Mr. Zaski.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Mr. Grant, good morning. Mr. Grant, you'll have to excuse me. Maybe I have Alzheimer's. I forgot who you're with. What company are you with?
Texas Capital Bank.
Texas Capital
Executive.
Bank.
Chairman Emeritus.
Sir?
Chairman Emeritus of Texas Capital
Okay,
Bank.
Okay, I am so sorry. Where's Texas? Where are they located?
We are located at 2100 McKinney.
Headquartered in Dallas.
In Dallas, Texas. 2100 McKinney.
2100. Is that going to be your permanent...
Well, actually, we're moving within about 5 months to 2000 McKinney.
2000 McKinney. Is this close? Will this park be close to your building?
It'll be very close.
How close?
Well, the back of the building, which has 15 condominiums, will face the park.
Will it be within 500 feet?
It'll be closer than that. The condominiums will be right across the street.
So this park really benefits your company?
No, it really doesn't.
Well, it's going to be within 200 or 300 feet.
Well, explain to me how it benefits my company.
Okay, and I know Chairman Emeritus, but I really appreciate for everything you're doing for the city and all, but I wanted to bring that up.
Let me just point out that Texas Capital Bank has no equity interest in that building or the property.
Thank you, sir.
some things I want to clear up. Other council members said that they're excited about this. I got a call yesterday from someone who told me they happened to be in the Hunt building yesterday, who said, God, we can't wait till the new park gets in. We just can't wait. It's going to benefit us so much. Well, it's not benefiting the city. I mean, do all of y'all realize, the new council members, that everything above ground, we get nothing on. That all goes to the foundation. We get nothing. All the restaurants, whatever income from upstairs, we get nothing on that. All we do, we don't even get the naming rights. What we have is the final approval on the naming rights. I think that's right, Mr. Dyer. We get the final approval on that. We get nothing on that. But we have to pay out $750,000 a year cost to maintain that. That's $1,130,000,000 if all the options are exercised over that period of time. You know, what's also bad about this, we're going to, I just asked one of our city attorneys, we're asking the state TxDOT for their $20 million. They're going to participate. I asked him, are we notifying them that this project is costing 17.28% less? You know what his answer was? We're not obligated to. I think that's wrong. I think that's absolutely wrong. That I don't care if we're obligated or not. We should be telling them. We should be telling them that this is costing less. Maybe the state would want to readjust their payments on this. So, colleagues, I know I'm going to be the Lone Ranger tonight. In a little while when this is voted on it. But I feel very good about it. And I know that some of y'all are going to go on the second round and saying you feel good about it, too. But I've been here for a long time, and I find this very disenchanting when we tell taxpayers one thing. Then we have an opportunity to save $3.5 million because the cost is coming in less. And this is not right to our taxpayers in Dallas. And we're trying to finance and build a very large product here, downtown Dallas. What are our citizens going to think when we do things like this? So I'm very sorry this is happening like this. This is a good project. They came to us. We did not come to them. They came to us to say, we're going to do this, this, and this, and we'll have the money. Paul, question to you. How much money have they deposited with the, how much money have they deposited with y'all?
We haven't deposited anything at this point in time, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Grant. Mr. Dyer,
how much money have they answered that question today?
They have spent $8 million in design fees. They are required to deposit at the time TxDOT bids this project, who is fully aware of the cost and the cost savings.
I
they
know,
are required
I
to
exhibit
deposit
a of
the balance between $40 million.
You need to read them, Paul. You know, you turn away because you know I'm right. And that's what's bad about this thing. If it's going to cost less, then everybody needs to proportionate less on this.
Now respond, Mr. Rezaki.
I've said it, and that's it. Thank you.
Fine. Mr. Atkins?
Thank you, Mayor.
I would like to just show the record that to over the objection of my colleagues, Mr. Rezaki, on a second round, I let you go substantially longer than rules would indicate. Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you,
Colleen. City Manager?
Ryan. Is this costing the city any more money?
No, sir. It's still $20 million.
No money, right?
$20 million plus the maintenance under the deck.
Okay. Number one, you know, as being on the economic committee, that we always say, the city of Dallas, we are trying to make sure that public and private partnership work together to make sure the city of Dallas is a great city. And I thank the foundation, the bank, whoever comes down here, we appreciate you to helping us to build a park. When I go to New York, you see a beautiful park downtown. We need that in order to have an international city. We as a colleague, sometimes you got to look beyond the box. If we're going to have a great city, we need a great park downtown for people to play. In this time of hard time, we need a place that costs the taxpayers nothing. It also might cost the taxpayers any money to do this. Again, Mayor, thank you for the second round.
Thank you.
Need to move on and go forward.
Yep,
thank you.
Ms. Davis?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm not going to be long. But, you know, as colleagues, and I know that we don't agree with Mitch on everything, and Lord knows I don't agree with Mitch on a whole lot of things, but we have to also give him his due process. I know, Mitch, you continue to say, well, we're not going to vote with you, and you're perhaps right. We might not vote with you. Mitch, you're talking. You're talking. We might not agree with you on 80% of the agenda items. But I want you to know it's your right as a colleague of mine and a friend of mine to speak what you feel that is right at the end of the day. Your constituents voted for you to come down here. They voted for you to be their advocacy at the end of the day. But no, we're not, and no, I don't support everything that you say or do. But I don't want you to feel, but we have voted on some things that you've asked us to a number of times. But this is one that I think I have a park board representative. You have one. All of us around here has a park board representative. And I think if this was something that I thought that would, was in harm's way for the city, I think my park board representative would have come to me and talked to me about it at the end of the day. But, Nick, I just want you to know that you have the right to speak your mind. I think I will be supporting this. We was briefed on this. Pauline, did this come to the quality of life? This didn't come to us at all, just to the park board. Okay, that's another one. Okay, then. Thank you so much.
Mr. Tipton, please.
Very briefly, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Grant, thank you. I'm sorry you had to endure the attack that has been launched upon you, and I certainly hope that in the future when we have public citizens that come before us and put together public-private partnerships and do the work of the type that you've done, that they don't have to endure the same level of personality that has been injected into this discussion. I'm sorry for it, but I think you'll do a great job on this, and don't let this deter you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kinski. Mr. Newman?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very excited about the prospect of the Woodall Rogers Park and the cooperation that we have been successful at bringing taxpayer funds, private funds, and state funds. So I'm very enthusiastic about this, and I want to say thank you very much for your leadership. Paul, thank you for your stewardship. Part of growing our city and making a city where we want to play in as well as work in is we have to keep investing in our park system. So I'm very supportive. I appreciate Mr. Rozanski's tenacity in looking at the dollars and evaluating that, but I'm supportive today, and thank you very much for both your leadership. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Newman. Mr. Allen,
very quickly. Very quickly, I just do not want you to walk away from here knowing that everybody sitting around here, majority of everybody, knows exactly what you have done. Councilman Natinski summed it up very well. So when you walk away, it's with one big thank you for what you've done about bringing that park downtown, because it is like New York Central Park. That's what that's going to be for the citizens that's down here. And probably when you was a kid, you probably read that book, The Power of Positive Thinking. And when you read that book, Chicken Little, you probably threw it away. So thank you very much for what you do.
I even knew the man who wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale.
Thank you very much. I will tell you, I think this is a great deal for every citizen in the city of Dallas.
It is a great deal because we're going to end up with a park that's going to be special that people can enjoy and get the benefit there. But I'd also tell you, this is one heck of a financial deal. On the front end, we get a park that's discounted by about 67%. On the back end, that discount will go to 80%. That is a terrific deal. It should also be noted that there's an extra $10 million that you went to the legislature and you went and got. It wasn't on the city's agenda. You were the one that went and got that. In addition to that, you've gone out and raised $16 million to this point. I've been in some of the conversations with you, so I know what your optimism is for another $24 million on top of that. That'll be not just a park, but a world-class park that'll compete with Millennium, Bryant, and the other great parks that we think on a worldwide basis. I'd also tell you that even at the $20 million, I think that's a heck of a deal. I was just doing some calculations and using some pretty conservative numbers of what the land values are around that area. And if we see a 25% increase, which was quoted a little bit earlier, I got to tell you that we're going to get over a 10% return on that on an annual basis, and that's going to be in perpetuity. So as that tax base goes up, we get a terrific deal on the return on that money, not to mention the fact that the private sector stepped up to $16 million on the front end. It should also be noted that the front end money was put in by the private sector. That needs to be built into the equation, too. You put $8 million into this when there was a prospect of absolutely nothing happened, and there's a whole host of things that could have happened where this park would never have happened, and then the private sector's out $8 million, and the city isn't out a single penny. So I think this is a terrific financial deal. We appreciate what you're doing, and I think it's important to also address some specific issues that were raised. Mr. Grant, I've known you. I've known you for a number of years. I know you've got a full-time day job. You didn't need to go out and raise this money, as a number of folks in this community have gone out and done it. You've done it because you think it's an important part of this city, and it will be. Strategically, it is absolutely critical. It will tie the uptown in with the Arts District, the uptown, the Victory area in with the downtown, give us a much better prospect of having private investment come into the downtown than we've ever had it before. I think the best thing about this park isn't the park. It's what it does strategically for the downtown and the investment that we're trying to get there. And I think it's also important to put that on the table. There was also an insinuation that maybe the numbers were played with on the front end with. I can assure you, because I have looked at the drawings, that that's not the case. The engineers came up and found a different way to deal with the exhaust. That exhaust was a savings of $11 million, and that's what the savings that we're dealing with today. So that was the engineers came up with. I know you didn't touch that, or anybody else that was associated with it. And then finally, I would also say there were some numbers that were thrown here that I've got a tough time understanding. It was said that we're going to be responsible for $750,000 worth of the maintenance on this, and that was over $1 billion. Let me tell you, Paul, you better do a great job of building that, because that means the estimated life on this park is 1,593 years. Let me tell you, this is going to be the King Tut exhibit in the future. So, and that's not to mention that you've got an irrevocable letter of credit and you put the money on the line. And I think it's a terrific deal. It's in so many different ways, and we're appreciative that somebody in the community, much like we've seen on the Arts District and the Performing Arts Center we dealt with a little bit before, has come forward and done that. I can tell you there are mayors all over this country that would love to have people like you that stood up and put something together that's going to be so important on here. So I want you to know we're all appreciative, and with that, all those in favor will signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Thank you very much, and Jody, thank you. That, the record will note that there was one objection. That was Mr. Radansky. With that, I was informed a little bit earlier, and I apologize for this, that there is an additional conflict of interest, if mine, on a nonprofit board that I sit on. It has to do with item number 3 on the addendum. As a result of that, Mr. Newman, could I ask for a motion of reconsideration?
Mayor, I move to reconsider the approval of the consent agenda.
And Mr. Salazar seconded that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to that? So ordered. With that, we will now have a motion for Mr. Newman on the consent agenda. Same items except excluding addendum item number 3, which will now be considered. Mr. Newman's moved it. Mr. Salazar seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. With that, we've completed item number 3. Let's go. Go ahead.
Okay. Addendum item number 3, Madam Secretary.
Madam
Madam Mayor, addendum item number 3 is an ordinance granting a private license to Baylor Healthcare Systems related to construction and maintain subsurface communication cables under a portion of Elm Street, Gaston, and North Washington Avenue.
Do I have a motion? It's been moved by Ms. Medrano, second by Mr. Salazar, to approve addendum item number 3. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Madam Secretary, please note for the record that the mayor is out of the room due to a conflict of interest.
Got it, Madam Mayor.
And can we please call the mayor back? I know he probably doesn't want to come back, but call him. In the meantime, I want to recognize the former president of LULAC, who is here with us in the audience, Mr. Hector Flores. Mr. Flores, as always, it's a pleasure to see you here at your City Hall. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, do we want to move on to item number 6?
Let's go ahead and move to item number 6 now.
Okay.
Addendum item number...
Regular item number 6.
Regular item number 6.
Item number 6 is a 36-month service agreement for yard waste grinding service at the city's landfill and transfer stations.
Mr. Lesensky.
Thank you. Ms. Nix. Colleagues, this has to do with a 36-month service contract for yard waste grinding, which I have no problem with, Ms. Nix, but you know where I'm leading up to on this?
No, sir.
This has to do with several calls we made to you regarding the landfill dump in my district behind some condominiums that I have showed to several council members here about to remove. Have you seen these pictures?
I'm sorry. No, sir, I have not seen them.
We sent them to you.
I'll take a look for that.
We sent them to you memo here about 3 weeks ago, and I discussed this with Ms. Assume also and showed her the pictures also. Sent them to around all the first week in August. This is a dump that we have transfer station in my district off of Holly Hill, where things have been just stacked there. Ms. Nix, I talked to you about
this. This on Fair Oak.
Yes,
those were temporarily stored there.
Those are temporary. I just want to make sure,
yes,
if we give this contract, that no districts here who have some temporary stations like this would see anything like this anymore. And I just want to make sure that you will see that it doesn't happen.
I agree with you. There's no reason to store that kind of material at the Fair Oaks transfer station.
Okay, and for this to be in people's, not exactly backyards, but they can see it with their naked eye. If that's the case, I will move for approval. But I just want to make sure that we don't have to subject any other citizens to anything like this throughout Dallas.
Okay.
I will move for approval. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I have a motion on the table and a second. Mr. Atkins, colleagues, one round, 3 minutes max. Go. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Cook, please. Dave Cook. I support this item, but I just have one quick question. Who was the prior contractor of this item before?
We had a contract with a company called Texas Tree and Landscape, awarded in, I think, in 2005. They stopped performing the work, though, and for the last several months, we've been having the work done by requisition with the firm we're recommending today, National Waste Management.
Why did they stop performing the work?
Well, I think we just got into a bad working relationship with them. They didn't respond to our calls when the waste built up and we needed them to come out and do the grinding. We couldn't get them to come.
Do you think they probably underbid the project and just couldn't, cost related to that?
Well, I don't know that that's it, because this contract is just a relatively small increase from that previous price, about 7%. And the company that, and we think it's a good price, a good solid price, because National Waste Management is already familiar with our operations and, like I said, doing the work now. So it might be that they underbid a little bit,
but we don't have an answer, really.
My other question is National Waste Management. They come from Florida. Is this their first job they've done in Dallas? Are they doing work in Dallas now?
They're doing this work now for us.
This is on the project they got going on.
It is the only local project in Dallas. Yes. They plan to, once this contract is authorized, they plan to establish a presence here with a small office and have local employees.
My main concern, since this is the only sole project here, I want to make sure we monitor the project so we won't have the same problem we had before with the prior contract.
Yes, sir. And we've been in contact with other cities that they do work for and have good references. So, and like I said, they're doing the work now, so we feel good about the award.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Dave, one thing. On these new contracts, and this is the National Waste Management, and they're out of Florida?
Yes.
How many waste management companies do we have here in Dallas?
Well, this is specifically for the grinding service, so it's not the waste pickup where there are.
So they grind all the material.
Yes.
So we don't have any grinding company here in the city of Dallas. That's okay if we don't.
We did have another bid. The second low bidder was a Dallas firm, Big Bird Tree Service, but their bid was $600,000 higher.
Higher.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if we find that even though that we're using this company here and their service is not as good as we want it to be, then what will we do?
If they are not performing to contract specifications, we would move to terminate the contract and probably we'd come back and recommend awards.
And look for another low bid.
Yes.
Okay. Mary, can you come up right quick? I have it's a property at 4914 Military Parkway. 4914 Military Parkway. They're doing, they have made it a dumping ground site. And can you look into that, please, for me? Get back with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. And what did you say? It was that you have a property in your district that you have a concern with, right? It's a citizen's concern. Okay. Thank you. For the record. Okay, and I have a motion on the table to approve agenda item number 6, and I have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries unanimously. Madam Secretary.
Madam Mayor, Mr. Mayor, we do have item number 10, and Mr. Rezansky has a conflict on that item.
Mayor, you'll know what's up.
Regular item number 10. Mr. Rezansky has a conflict. It deals with a acquisition in the right of eminent domain for 4 tracts of unimproved land near the intersections of Commerce and Griffin Streets for Belo Garden Park.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Would you get Mr. Rezansky to join us, please? Item number 19, Madam Secretary.
Item number 19 is a professional services contract with Conley Group Incorporated to provide architectural and engineering service for the renovation of the municipal building.
Well, we need to wait just a moment. We'll get this for Dan. Yeah, I'm going to give him a chance to visit. Let's hold. Let's go to item number 38. We'll hold that for just a moment. If that has been read in the record, we'll just hold 19. We'll go to 38. Mr. Zansky, do you want to make a comment on item number 19 is where we are?
A regular agenda item 19, Mr. Zansky.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Mr. Bratton, or what's your name? Jack, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Jack, the only question, I don't have a problem with this, but what we're doing here is authorizing out of bond funds about $1.2 million for architectural engineering services. Do we have an idea about what this is going to cost?
Yes, sir. I believe the construction is going to be about $10 million.
Around
the total project is about $10 million. This is about 11%.
Around $10 million.
Yeah, so this is about 11%.
Would that be in nuts, bolts, and feathers?
Yes, then.
You know what that means? That means everything.
Yes, sir.
is it $10 million? I don't really remember. Was that in the 98 bond program?
No, sir. There's some funding in 98 and some funding in 2006.
Okay. Where are we going to get the $10 million from?
From those two sources, from the 98
and from
that.
The
06.
May I ask you, you are telling the Conley Group that we have a budget of X and we expect it to come in for that amount.
Yes, sir. They are aware of that.
Move for approval. Thank you.
There was a motion already on the floor.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Alba.
Motion has been moved and second. No other discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Order. Madam Secretary, item number 22, please.
Item number 22, it's a resolution declaring two properties unwanted and unneeded. Conveyance by deed without warranty to Halu Ajaj, I can't pronounce that last name, for mixed-use development on the properties within 3 years of execution of the deed. Mr. Rezanski, pull the item.
Mr. Rezanski,
AC. Oh, I'm sorry. Jerry, I'm sorry. I didn't see you back there. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
AC, good morning. I don't have a problem with this at all. I just want to know one thing. We're going to convey this to Aju. Am I close? No.
Halu Ajugu.
Huh?
Halu Ajugu.
Well, that wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. Pretty good. Probably as good as you, AC, the first time, huh? My question is, this going to be guaranteed by an LLC and not him personally? Any work to be done? We're going to convey the property to this gentleman for $10 with the promise that he builds within 3 years, which is great.
Yes, sir.
Are we going to give a contract in lieu of, or are we going to give a warranty, or are we going to actually deed it over?
We're going to deed the property to him because this is just part of an assemblage that
okay. So we're
15,000 square foot building.
We're going to do this, and he has to build a total of about 15,000 feet, including around 7,500 feet of commercial space and across the 9 rental units.
That's correct.
Okay. But we are going to do this in lieu of a contract. So we could be getting it back and unravel the whole thing.
That's possible.
Take a look
and talk to the city attorney's office. It might be easier and cheaper and less for the city to do a contract in lieu of a deed, which I have done numerous times in the past, especially when you're selling condos in a project and you don't have all of them sold, that you want to clear out the bank, so you do a contract in lieu of something. I don't have a problem with it, but I just wanted to bring that up. You know, with getting this and having retreat money too, so I didn't get a chance to talk to you. So I have no problem with it. It's just something I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Davis, please.
Jerry, I just wanted to let Mitch know on this particular piece of property, who will be housed there? Will it be People Helping People?
People Helping People is going to lease a portion of the bottom area.
Yeah, and I think that would be great. And what are some of the other things that we're looking long-term for this piece of property?
Well, we're looking at this will be the first commercial building going up. And if you've been down on Bear Street lately, the 31 townhouses are already under construction. Mm-hmm. And that's going up. All of the streetscaping, the sidewalks and curbs and all, very urban looking, is already in place. And this will be the first commercial building. It's going up, and we hope we'll get started in December or January. I might mention that Mr. Iguju is a businessman who operates down in the area, and we are partnering with this gentleman on this building. And the total cost of the 15,000 square feet is around $1.3 million or about $90 a square foot, and he's putting up two-thirds of the money. So
that's a real good deal for us. He's putting up about two-thirds of his money. And also, we're going to continue to talk about that area, trying to find a nice slash type of convenient grocery store down in that area. So those are some of the things that we're continuing to look at.
Yes, and we need that.
Okay, then. Thank you so much.
Let me just jump in on it. This is in District 7, and the store says one block from District 4. And so it's our shared community, and it is so very important that this community has a grocery store. A major chain is not coming. And I appreciate the fact that we are having this opportunity to work with this particular individual who chose to go into an area that other folks would not. So I'm in total support of this, and would hope that we do everything first class that we can do to make it the store and the whole development of that area what that community deserves.
Thank you, Mr. Gilway. We do have a motion.
I move to approve agenda item 22.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Order. Madam Secretary, 26, please.
Item 26 is a modification to the Reconstruction Share Program statement to include eligibility requirements to increase the maximum qualifying area medium income, and to require no interest repayment of the note at the time of death of the borrower or transfer, and then to execute all necessary loan documents.
Thank you, Madam. Jerry, good morning again.
Good morning.
I have two questions. How this is written up, it says increase the maximum qualifying area medium income. And then on top it says council districts all. Not all council districts. Would all council districts fall in that category?
Yes, sir. This is an income eligible program and not a geographic...
And it says including 80% as determined by HUD.
Yes.
For that area or for the citywide?
Well, for this area, the area median family income at 80%.
Well, we're not talking about this area. I'm talking about the whole city.
Well, no, when I talk about, yes, sir, it's for the entire city. As defined by HUD, this entire city has an area median family
income.
What is
our average income?
For a single person,
it's about 42,000 or 44,000.
80% for a single person. Good thing I looked at this because I was going to say 38. It's 37,240.
37.
Yes.
So anybody who can show that their net income is 37,200 could qualify for this program.
That's right.
And that includes if they have a home that has equity in it or not.
They have to own their home.
Well, I'm not talking about they being this particular one, but if they have a home.
Yes, sir, but they have to own the home.
Yeah, I understand.
Lien free.
Okay. Look, I'm for this program. I think what we're doing is we're providing one reimbursement payment within 24 months. And it could include the payment of ad valorem taxes. My question on this, and I don't see it, is there a maximum amount on here?
Yes, sir. It's 87.5. And in fact, Council Member Hill brought this to our attention that when we raised the project limits above the 65,000, most of our elderly citizens were exempt from paying taxes. When we raised it, all of a sudden they had taxes to pay, but also their homeowners insurance went up, and so we were giving them a little.
And they would make application and be approved. Would that be approved by HUD, too?
HUD has approved the program. Okay. Yes.
I have no problem with this. I'll move for approval.
This has been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Atkins, a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, number 38.
Item 38 is the to authorize rejection of a bid received for the construction of the site utilities associated with the energy recovery facility at Southside Wastewater Treatment Plant and re-advertise.
Ms. Coop?
I don't have a problem, Mr. Puckett. I don't have a problem with, and I will move approval for this in just a second, but I just want to ask a few questions because it's an important project that we're doing over there. It's better for the environment. We're going to have a methane biogas plant. A little disappointed that we're going to have to send it back out for bids, but I understand that portion of it. But I just want the audience to know why are we doing this, the environmental reasons why we're doing it, also the cost savings, so that everybody will understand what's produced there at this landfill and how we're going to, how we address that and solve another issue, which is providing energy for our processes for water treatment.
I'd like to give a little bit of quick background on this item and a related item that will be coming forward. We briefed the Transportation Environment Committee, let's say 2 to 4 weeks ago, I can't recall exactly, on a cogeneration project, which is a methane biogas project that produces about two-thirds of the power for our Southside Wastewater Treatment Plant. The item before you today is the construction of site utilities, the bid we've received for that in advance of the contract we hope to enter into with the vendor for the power. We hope to dovetail those projects together, but the timing didn't work out as well as we'd hope. Long term, the value at our wastewater treatment plant, all the sludge that's produced in our system is processed there at Southside. And right now we flare that methane to the air. This will produce about 30 million kilowatt hours on an annual basis, which is again about two-thirds of the volume. We expect to save almost $2 million or more dollars a year in power costs alone, plus reduction in emissions, so forth and so on. So that's just kind of a nutshell of that. It's kind of segmented, unfortunately, because there are two pieces to this effort.
And that's important because not only is this going to reduce emissions and save on electric costs for the city of Dallas, I asked Ms. Puckett what we're paying now, and it's about 10% a kilowatt hour, and what we'll be paying if we do the biogas plant, that's about 6 cents to 9 cents a kilowatt hour, but also for us to continue to look for ways to generate our own energy. And I know they've been looking at solar energy as well. You need about 20,000 square feet in order to put up solar panels. And I would ask that when the Madam Manager, okay, I would ask that we continue to look for that opportunity to create electrical power into the grid for our use, because that is what the wave of the future is going to be. For us as a city to be able to create our energy and also reduce emissions is very, very important. I look forward, when is this coming back to the council? I'd like to have it done as quickly as possible.
We hope to bring the lease arrangement to council by November 10th.
Okay.
And then once that's done and that successful vendor gets his permit, then we'll rebid the utilities. We don't want to build the utilities now without having all his ducks in a row. So so this will be a third step post that permitting process. So the deal should come back on November 10th.
Okay, and that's good. And Madam Manager, would you have someone check with me to see how aggressive we're being on our solar energy project that we're looking at? I really do think it's important if we're going to continue our leadership in the region. These are two important projects that help us maintain that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins, please.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I think Linda stole my thunder. She has all the questions I had to ask. You're a great district representative. Great. You did a great job, Linda. But anyway, I agree. Let's move it forward.
Terrific.
Motion and second.
Ms. Coop moved it, and Mr. Atkins seconded it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. 239, our boards and commissions.
Yes. consideration of appointments to board and commissions. You have several nominations for individual appointments. Pam Gerber is being nominated to the Community Development Commission by Councilmember Hunt, and the Municipal Library Board is Luann Smith being nominated by Councilmember Newman. On the full council appointments, the Reinvestment Zone 6 Board Farmers Market, Alexa Griffin is being nominated by Councilmember Medrano. And on the Reinvestment Zone 12 Board, the Deep Ellum, Herb Goodman is being nominated by Councilmember Medrano. And they all meet qualifications for service.
Move approval.
Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? So ordered. Number 40, please.
40 is a 36-month professional service contract with two 12-month renewals for continuation of the advertising campaign and media placement for promotion and reinforcement of water conservation initiatives and the grease abatement program.
Thank you. Mr. Zansky, please.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Ramon or Jody or... Good morning, Ms. Pucker. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you for asking.
Ma'am?
Thanks for asking.
Well, of course. I ask everyone here. Question, 36 months with two 12-month options, $5,640,000. I'm asking for two things, advertising program and also a grease abatement program. You know how you have split this? How much grease abatement? How much have you allocated for each program?
The water conservation component of this item is about $4.1 million, and the grease abatement is about $1.5 million.
It's about $1.5 million. So about $4.1 million for advertising and promotion, and $1.5 million on the grease abatement.
Right. And they're both promotional campaign programs.
You know, the grease abatement program is reminding me as a child where you sort of take your finger and go around the bowl when your mother baked the cake for the icing. Because the grease now, you know, with fuel, they're stealing it. I don't think there's too many restaurants that are going to, I think all the restaurants are very careful what they do with their grease. Now get down to, my question to you is, how this is written, 3 years with two 12-month options. If you include the options, does it come out to the $5,600,000?
No, sir.
So we're talking about 5 years. Is that correct? It possibly could be.
If we chose those options, then we'd be bringing those back to council for their approval of those options. So the deal is a 36-month relationship.
Okay.
And it is subject to annual appropriations, I might add.
So what we're talking about in the next 5 years, not only $5,600,000, would be $5,600,000 plus an additional 24 months.
If it's so appropriated.
Yeah, if it's so. So we're talking about 36 and 24, 36 plus 24, 60 times 155.5. So we're talking about almost $10 million in advertising and grease abatement. I have a big problem with that, with the water bills, the way they are. And this comes out of current funds of our water bill. And, you know, we spent, correct me, please, ma'am, 4 or 5 years ago, we entered a program, $3 or $4 million in advertising, the water department. It was about 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, we have had a water conservation campaign for a number of years now, and we've been spending anywhere from $900,000 to a little over $1 million. I don't recall, frankly, what year we started.
We know water is, we are concerned about water. You know, starting about 4 years ago, we were looking at fast drill and everything, and that got beat down by certain things from the government, and we're, you know, supposedly going to run out of water in 2035, more or less. We need to do something. aren't we pretty safe until 2035?
We need additional supplies, secured supplies, by 2035.
Yeah, we need additional.
We have to connect existing supplies between now and
then. You know, I hate to spend the $9.5 million here. All I'm asking you to do, we all know we have to do water conservation, how important it is. It's very important, but please spend the money wisely. This is almost $10 million that's coming out of our water department, and we're trying to save water, and I understand that. But please get together with your heads of the department and spend the money wisely. And again, we have water bills. We send out around $345,000.
A month, roughly.
Yeah, about $345,000 bills a month. You know, if we put stuffers in there every other month about conservation, and I see it, we do a good job on it. Keep doing that. Maybe we can cut the cost down from the $10 million. Thank you, Joey.
You're
very
welcome.
Much. Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I didn't see.
Thank you, Mr. Rosensky. One round, 1 minute, colleagues, I'm next. Ms. Puckett, and I'm very glad to hear Mr. Rosensky knows that water conservation is really important.
Why would you say that?
Because I remember when we just put the money for the campaign, when we started this process, you voted against it. But now you're in favor, and I'm very, very happy about it. And Ms. Puckett, tell us, you know, for our listening audience, you know, what are the changes that we've seen since we started the water conservation program? Because till 2002, if I remember, or 2001, the city of Dallas, being the size it is, we did not have a water conservation program. So this is one of the triumphs that, you know, the triumphs of this council has done when it comes to water conservation. Can you tell us what are our numbers now and how are we doing with this program?
Well, just an example of how much water we've been able to save just with the time of day watering change that the council had implemented back in 2001, over 70 billion gallons of water. And in fact, we've had some pretty significant drought periods these last 4 or 5 years, and we've been able to meet our peak demands, in fact, lowered our peaks from previous droughts. And so people are getting the message. To me, the water conservation is a little bit like buckling your seatbelt. You have to keep teaching, keep reminding, reaching out to people, and I think that the efforts of this council are bearing fruit. So,
thank you, Ms. Puckett. I agree with you. Now, compared to other cities, because I remember one of the arguments that we had at the time was the investment compared to other cities that have been doing water conservation for 10 or 12 years, like San Antonio, like Houston, that have invested a lot more money than what we invested in the water conservation. Can you talk about that?
We're now pretty competitive relative to that metric between San Antonio and Austin. In our water conservation budget, we include rebate program funding and other things like that, the toilet voucher program, the minor home repair program. So helping customers with that has been very, very proactive. So our total budget is just south of about $4 to $5 million, if I remember correctly. So it's pretty consistent on a per capita basis with San Antonio and Austin and other cities that have water conservation as a mission and a vision.
Right, and it's a mission and a vision that has to be constantly reminded, and we have continued to fund this program. Am I correct about that?
That is correct.
Now, when we also go to schools and reach out to a lot of the elementaries all over the city of Dallas, how is the program going? We have our mascot. Can you mention for our people that are listening today?
Well, Dew is our water conservation mascot, and I believe he even has a MySpace page. I'm not quite sure what that is, but people that might hear this know what MySpace is.
You don't have a MySpace page? Sure.
No, sir, I don't. I have an email account, but it. So our partnership, too, with our friends in sanitation as far as delivering these resource conservation messages in the public schools has really been, I think, a big boon for all of us, and as far as, you know, teaching the children and the value in that. And so I think that, you know, the Water Conservation Strategic Plan that the council adopted back in April of 2005, you know, this is part of that implementation. And as we go forward updating that plan, for the next 5 years as far as creating those supplies that we can rely on through conservation.
Thank you, Ms. Bucket. Thank you for briefing this council about this. Thank you for using the money wisely, as like Mr. Rosensky put it, because really we are very conservative considering what other cities have been doing about water conservation, how much money they spend in water conservation. So the city of Dallas is in good hands, and we will continue to do this education because it's necessary for the future of our city and our residents. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you.
I move for approval.
We've got a motion.
And I'll second.
Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. Jody, I really do like the grease
abatement program.
Yeah, the grease abatement. You have those little grease bags.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to get some in my office. They have really worked at my town hall meetings and my neighborhood meetings that I've had. I like them, and I do use them also. The other thing, you have the, do you have some educational materials on the grease abatement?
Yes, we do.
Okay, and I like to have some of those, too.
Okay.
I am really impressed with that. I just have one question for Dave Cook. Dave, could you come forward, please?
David,
yeah, I'm just okay, one question. Right. I'll be finished, Mayor. I have just one. I'll be finished. On the MWB, just tell me the difference. I know that we selected this particular company, but the other company at North St. Paul had the lowest bid. What's going on with that one?
We had a committee do an evaluation, and there was a pretty sharp difference. Let me give you a sense of the categories of where the points were gained and lost. I think I have that. Obviously, the proposal from Verve had got the most points for price,
mm-hmm.
but they lost points in their work plan. The work plan from CDM was judged substantially better than the other two presenters.
So we really didn't look at the lowest bid on this one.
We looked at it, we considered it, and we gave that a weighting. The cost was weighted 25% in the
uh-huh.
total valuation. So that allows us to look at a good value for the bid. We don't necessarily go with the lowest, and we certainly don't go with the highest.
And you don't have to go into detail. I guess the only thing I'm saying is that we really don't have to look at the lowest bid on some of our products.
There are certain things we have latitude, professional services and things of this nature. We do have some latitude.
Okay, and then last, how do we monitor? Because I just want to make sure this is a huge amount of money, and that I saw some subcontractors in this country. How do we monitor that process to make sure that they get their fair share too?
I'll let Adai explain that.
Okay.
Ms. Davis, we have intent form that have been completed by the recommended vendor, and we get that in our office, and we monitor that throughout the life of the project. And as you know, the city manager did add some additional resources for us in this year's budget that we now have to track the sub-utilization from beginning to the end of the contract, and we'll report back to you on to make sure that utilization stays on course. So we are the ones that monitor that.
And I'd like to have a copy of that once it's set up.
Okay, we can share that with you.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
The contract was awarded to this one particular company for $5.6 million. What is the percentage of the MWBE?
There are two firms participating as subcontractors. K-Strategies has a subcontracting of about 8.5%, nearly $500,000 on this contract, and LeMaster has a little over 5%, which is $300,000.
So we're looking at probably 13%?
Nearly 14, yes.
Nearly 14%. What was that goal?
The goal would have been a little bit higher than that. The goal
23.8%.
So we found 10% less, right? Now, question, if we award the option, the 24-month renewal option of the contract, do they ever come back to us and try to increase their gold or the minority, or would that change since they already have the contract?
We would expect them to maintain this level.
So you expect them to maintain it, but in a way we put a sentence that they've got to increase it.
I don't know that we could make that a contract stipulation.
Because, and that's what my concern is. Number one, we come in with a $5 million contract, then they can renew it for another $5 million, and they don't have a chance for the minority to increase that deal. That is my concern. Is there any way we can do that to make sure they go back and try to get a better good faith to increase that number?
At the renewal time, we would certainly be reexamining the project and looking at the scope, just like we've done for this.
But I guess my question is, number one, when we had a large contract, and when the contract said we did 13%, and they do the change order to increase it, and it might increase double or 20% or whatever, it never come back to us and say, you got to increase this, and we did it, but we decided to use the same personnel or we did in-house. That's my concern. I guess, manager, you want to answer that, Mayor?
The renewal would come back to council, and you'd see the additional participation.
I understand that.
I think Mr. Cook was trying to say that as we look at renewals, we look at how the work's been done, and we also emphasize to them that it's important to the council to have increased participation, and they might want to think about that as we're thinking about whether to renew or to go back out for bid. And we can certainly say that, and we do, and we say it pretty strongly.
But I guess, Mary, that for last year, by me tracking these type of contracts, anytime we have an increase, I have not seen any increase of minority contractors. Well, I see the good faith there, but I don't see the increase. It don't go up. It stabilizes.
On the renewals?
Yes. I went through hundreds of contracts. Increase the minorities.
More typically, we'll see change orders that come back to council, construction contracts that might be a $3 million contract and a $500,000 change order later with the scope.
Well, sometimes it'd be $2 million, $3 million, but the minorities stay the same because they decided to do it in-house or use the same people, and they did try to do the good faith effort. We did search, but it don't go up.
On the change orders, they're a little bit different, but on the renewals, you are absolutely right. We ought to be heavily encouraging people because that's renewing the contract completely. A change order, we haven't agreed
with. Well, that's what I'm looking at last year on this particular one. We started at $5.6 million. It's going to increase to almost $10 million. That's almost $3 or $4 million increase.
Yes,
and they're still going to stay at 13%. I think they should come back to us and say, hey, good faith, no good faith. We need to increase that.
We will have a conversation with them and remind them about your conversation with us.
Thank you.
Renewals, yes.
Thank you very much.
Good comment.
Mr. Shelver.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I support the efforts and the work that staff have done to make sure that we are bringing awareness of a very important issue. I'm going to be voting against this item. I can't see where the good faith is where you have a $5.6 million contract. You have 40% of the population that is Hispanic, and if none is represented on this contract, I can't see how, and I think Mr. Atkins is right on target, that we need to make sure that when this contract does come back, I need to see a little bit more better good faith effort in that next contract. So at this time, I'm going to vote against it, just send that message to these contractors. No, I'm voting against it. I'm not saying delay it. I'm just going to vote against it.
Okay. We do have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed?
No.
Okay. The record shows that Mr. Salazar objected to that. The motion does pass, so ordered. Madam Secretary, let's go back to our addendum agenda then, beginning with item 2.
Yeah. Addendum item number 2 is an increase in the contract with Tri-Tech Software Systems for professional services to perform record checks against state and federal records.
Mr.
Rozanski, this is addendum item number 2. You had asked for it.
Mr. Mayor, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Why don't I go to Dr. Garcia there?
No, go ahead, Mr. Rozanski.
Addendum item number 2. Thank you, Mayor.
getting all the big wigs.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Just to authorize an increase in a contract with Tri-Tech Software Professional Service to comply with the FBI investigation security requirements. This is only for our software system. Is that right? This has nothing to do with the information that we have prepared for FBI or anything like that, is it?
That's correct. What this is a password modification for all of our officers so that they can access the FBI and state data.
Okay. And we are only dealing this Tri-Tech software. This is an increase in a contract of $341,000. Is that correct? And that is to comply with the FBI's. What is it that we're short on security?
Right now, Mr. Rosansky, you can access the FBI information or the state information with the password of Mitchell, for example.
God forbid.
And the FBI and the state have gone to a 16-digit password system that requires both numbers, letters, and other signs, like a pound sign, for your personal password. We have to modify the entire software system in order to allow for that to upgrade our security system.
Morris, question. Have we brought in our city auditor to take a look at this?
No, sir. We're following the guidelines set by the FBI and by the states on the passwords.
And we're following to 100%.
Yeah, I have to add to that. All of the cities in the entire United States have to do this by December 31st.
And I have no problem. I'll move for approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Dr. Steve, do you want to add something?
Yes, Mr. Evans. This is something that has to be done. There's no way around it.
If we don't do it by December 31st, we cannot access criminal background information.
That will mean that we will not have, any of the employees, future employees, with criminal background checks.
And the people that we pull over.
Exactly. So that being said, I will move on second. And colleagues, we're doing this. Thank you.
Mr. Jitsky, please.
I'll pass, Mr. Mayor.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, item number 4 on the agenda.
Okay. Addendum item number 4 is a public hearing to be held on December 10, 2008, related to the creation of a tax increment finance and reinvestment zone for several areas adjacent to the Dart Light Rail Station and consideration of an ordinance creating the TOD TIF district.
Mr. Zanke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Carl. Carl, this was delivered to us Friday night on the addendum.
Yes.
And, I looked at it over the weekend, but we had city council retreats Monday and Tuesday. And I looked at this as much as I can. I have a question. On page 42, you have in here on page 42 that the first, second, third paragraph, property appreciation is assumed to be 1.5 per annum on average. When this was put together and today, I don't agree with that. We don't know if there's going to be any appreciation in land value at all. Due to the fact of the increase in such a dead market in the real estate. What I'm concerned about is this, this was delivered to us, and also on Exhibit A2, which is not numbered, if we could look at Exhibit A2, Thank you. Let me ask you, around A2, that property is so valuable, around A2. On A2, the proposed TIF for the Lover's Lane and Mockingbird, what kind of abatements, I hate to use that word, but what kind of packages are you going to offer on that area?
Well, let me help out here with something.
You know where I'm going.
Yes, I do know where you're going, and if I can preface this before answering your specific question. We are going to do a detailed briefing at the Economic Development Committee on November the 3rd on this entire TIF concept. The reason that we put this on the agenda today is we have to have a 60-day notice for the public hearing that would be held at the council meeting in December. So we will go into this in significant detail at the ECO committee.
But you're asking, that's what I'm asking, and I have another note. You're asking us to approve it today, to receive comments, to consider it.
We're requesting that we call for a public hearing, which will take place in 60 days. All we're doing is asking
Brief Economic Committee in a whole on this.
We're going to brief the Economic Development Committee in November.
And then we will come back and vote on it.
Absolutely.
Okay, then I have no problem with it. But keep in mind, on the TIF, Lover's Lane and Mockingbird, that almost doesn't need a TIF in that area. Let me tell you, still today, investors are scrambling to buy.
I absolutely agree with you,
good,
Mr. Rozanski. The whole concept of this TIF is that we are combining an area that we would not normally provide TIF incentives for, as in Mockingbird, Lover's Lane, with the Lancaster Corridor, because within the final budget, we will allocate excess increment that will be generated in the Mockingbird Station Lovers area to Lancaster Corridor, where there is not the ability to generate immediate increment.
But between Greenville and Central, and from Milton South, you know as much as I do to Mockingbird, there have been sales in there at $100 a foot.
I totally agree with you. As I was trying to explain, we would never have created this as a standalone TIF.
Okay.
The idea is that we are trying to help generate growth in the southern sector in accordance with the Southern Sector Task Force mandate.
Okay. But you can understand that I'm looking at A2, and I think it's a standalone.
Well, I assure you that it's not, and I will reassure you that on November the 3rd.
Okay. That was my comment, because that was an area that doesn't need a TIF, and I see that you agree with me. Thank you. Thank you so much. Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Carl, and this is really outside my respective district. It's in Dr. Garcia's district, but Westmoreland, Illinois. It's right in the TIF, District 1, District 3, kind of intersected near that. And why was the Westmoreland, Illinois DART station, that area, not considered part of this TOD TIF program?
I believe that several things, Mr. Newman. When we were conceptually putting this TIF together, we were really looking to link the Lancaster Corridor with Mockingbird Station, and I think there is the possibility in the future to create another TIF that might link Westmoreland and some other specific project.
The write-up includes the Cedars, Corinth, so it's not just Lancaster.
No, but it's the contiguous space along those dart lines. If you look at that, and we, for example, those dart lines go right through the downtown, the convention center area. We did not include that in this TIF. It's only that we have to create a contiguous situation, and so the dart lines provide that, and that's the way we connect the north with the south.
I appreciate that, and I'm looking at the sheet. This is what you're talking about, this map sheet that shows a vertical line. I just would communicate continued frustration. I remember a year ago, several council members and I were in a meeting talking about Cherokee and that whole origination of Southern Sector Redevelopment and TUDs, and we expressed frustration that nothing ever happened of this great partnership with Cherokee. And when I saw this in the agenda item, I thought, okay, where's Westmoreland, Illinois? And I couldn't find it, and so I'm disappointed that that's not included in there. Again, it's not my respective district. It abuts to District 1, but that intersection impacts residents in Oak Cliff, District 3, District 1, so I'm disappointed that that's not included in your Southern Sector Strategy, AC.
Mr. Newman, my comment to that would be that you could include so many stations that you could dilute the purpose of what you're trying to accomplish. And when we put the Cherokee deal together, the idea was that they would be acquiring land and assembling land, which they had to put on hold because of the real estate capital market situation. They're still interested. The agreement still holds, but what we stipulated was that they could not assemble land in the north without assembling land in the south, and that was the context of that. So that still holds, and there's nothing to prevent. In fact, we would encourage that to include Westmoreland Station. It just wasn't part of this particular deal.
Okay. Well, my sentiment remains that I'm disappointed about this. And we have a brand new shopping center, major investment in that intersection. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Mr. Dr. Garcia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Salakowski, and I really want to thank you for all the work you've done. You expressed very well, you know, what happened with Cherokee. As you know, Westmoreland, Illinois, Mr. Newman, was part of that development. However, the assembly of land is the most important part of any TIF. What we have in front of us today, colleagues, is a pilot. It's a pilot where we have some very good prospects, which will probably make very successful this TIF, because they're aligned with our station. Am I correct, Mr. Savakowski?
That's correct, Dr. Garcia.
Now, in Westmoreland Station, you know, and I understand my colleague's frustration and disappointment. Of course, it's in District 1, and it's a great development. But the reality is, Mr. Newman, as I say many, many times, a successful TIF has a successful project, and the assembly of land is extremely important. In this case, we haven't had that yet. So rather than get disappointed and frustrated, we need to go out and ask for a developer that looks at the area, that really wants that has the financial backup to go ahead and make a very successful TIF in Westmoreland, Illinois, like we did in 12 Hills, like we did in Davis Gardens TIF, where people come out and say, we need this to develop. So, again, Carl, I know that you are working with Mr. Atkins in the Southern Sector, development, and I look forward to see that. And for all the listening audience, for all the developers that are out there investing in the Southern Sector, I want to tell them they have a very good location at Westmoreland, Illinois, and I hope that they can come forward, and we're ready to help them. We're ready to make it a very successful TIF if the assembly of land happens in this area. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Hipsy, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I just want to comment that, you know, this is one of the sort of out-of-the-box innovative things that staff has been working on to try to link what could be a fast-growing TIF area in the north to a possible TIF area in the south, and leverage that extra revenue stream to benefit both of them. And all we're doing in this is calling for a public hearing 60 days down the road. We'll have plenty of time at economic development to vet out all the specific issues that relate to it. And all we're doing is using, much as we do on our ETJ, we're using the tracks of the DART system, which I think is kind of an out-of-the-box solution, guys, to link up areas that would be unable to be linked otherwise. So I'll certainly be supporting this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Kinski. Mr. Atkins, what's your...
Thank you, Mayor. AC, I got my package. I was going through this. I looked at the boundaries, and I was just curious that when you get from Leadbelter to Lancaster, and that's where the TO begins, and that's almost like the heart pumping the blood down the Lex corridor, why we did not consider that as a TIF?
Certainly, we are going along the dart line in that particular area, and that is, if there's an adjustment that needs to be made, we can make that adjustment as we go forward.
There needs to be adjustments to be made. Are you going to make that adjustment? That's what you're saying.
We're going to be taking a look at it when we have that briefing with the ECO committee. We can certainly speak to that.
When is that briefing?
November 3rd.
Okay. Just put a notation, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. We have a motion and a second on this item. Again, it is to establish a public hearing. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered.
Mr. Mayor, we did have a motion on that one.
I thought we did have a motion. I'm sorry.
Ron
moves it. Mr. Atkins seconded it.
That's it.
Thank you. That brings us to the close of our regular items. We'll convene again at 1 o'clock for the zoning items. It is now 11:53 on October 8th of 2008. City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551.071 of the Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda: legal issues regarding the development of the proposed Convention Center and Hotel. Estimated time on that is 10 minutes. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and do it the executive session right now before lunch. We'll get that out of the way. It should just be a couple of minutes. Then we'll have lunch, then we'll reconvene again at 1 o'clock. Okay, we're in recess. Thank you.
Good afternoon. It's 1:04, and we have a quorum. So let's go ahead and take our seats, and let's start with what is supposed to be a very short afternoon. Welcome to your Dallas City Hall. Madam Secretary.
Madam Mayor, we have two public hearings. The first public hearing is a hearing to receive comments regarding proposal for an ordinance waiving certain street name changes standards and changing the name of Missouri Avenue between 35 and Marcellus Avenue to Grover C. Washington Avenue. At this time, we would like to hear from any speakers that would like to speak on item number 41, changing the name of Missouri Avenue to Grover C. Washington. If you would please complete a speaker's card as you come forward and state your name and your address for the record. You have 3 minutes to speak, Madam Mayor.
Hold on just a second. Can the people that are in favor of the name change raise your hand?
I think that's the whole order.
Okay, pretty much everybody. So why don't we do this? We give 5 minutes to each side. And if you want to put your name on the record, just say in favor or against, we do that, and we will be done pretty soon. So, if you have a, I will give you a few minutes to see who wants to speak. You can, be as many as you want in 5 minutes, and we go from there.
Okay. So at this time, if the community members would like to get together, the council is giving you 5 minutes to speak. And after the 5 minutes is up, then Madam Mayor, each can put their name on the record.
On the record, correct.
Their name and address on the record in favor of changing the name. Or if you're in opposition later, you will be given 5 minutes as well and put your name on the record. First of all, those, Madam Mayor, at this time that would like to speak in opposition to changing the street name. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of changing the street name to Grover C. Washington?
Anyone in the audience?
At this time, then, the council would like to hear from those persons that would like to speak in favor of changing the street name to Grover C. Washington Avenue. If you would come forward at this time and state your name and your address for the record. And keep in mind, you have 5 minutes as a group to state the reason you're in favor of the name change.
And this is agenda item number 41.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Ernest Warwick. I live at 3655 Maryland Avenue, Dallas 75216. I am a proud member of the Marcellus Avenue Church of Christ and have been since I was 19 years old. We have been a long time with this request, and I'm speaking in favor, asking for your support for our request to change the name of the street.
Anyone else who would like to come forward?
And speak in favor of the name change.
My name is Willie Davis. I live at 6433 Autumn Woods Trail in Dallas. I'm a retired school principal.
and a member of the Marcellus Avenue Church of Christ. On behalf of our church and in honor and memory of our late minister, Grover C. Washington, community supporter, college administrator, and a member of the Southwestern Christian College Board of Directors, we come today to appeal for your support, your endorsement, and acceptance of our request for renaming Missouri Street to Grover C. Washington Street. Grover C. Washington's name asked on the street sign on the southern border of the church where he labored for over 40 years will validate and acknowledge his outstanding services to citizens of the 75216 area code and the communities of South Dallas and Oak Cliff. Thank you for your consideration of our request to honor this great man.
Anyone else would like to speak in favor of the street name change?
My name is Willie Tucker. I live at 2916 Bridal Reef Lane in the city of Dallas, Texas, and I'm honored to speak a word on behalf of the name change of that section of Missouri to Grover C. Washington. I had the opportunity of serving with Brother Washington for nearly 40 years before his death. He was a man of acute social consciousness who made contributions not only to members of the body of Christ, but to the general public as well. We cannot imagine the number of people who go and come and who've gone and come in that area of the city of Dallas that know Brother Washington and would appreciate your earnest consideration of changing the name of that street to honor him. Thank you.
I'm Dr. David Lane, the current senior minister for the Marcellus Avenue Church of Christ. Dr. Grover C. Washington served as minister of our congregation for 42 years. He was a nationally recognized minister, a political activist, a social and community servant and innovator, served on several boards in our community, including the Martin Luther King Center, and as the official representative of our congregation to represent our elders, our deacons, focus leaders, and members at large, we stand asking for your acceptance of the name change in honor of his legacy to our community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I am Larry Grover Washington, and I appreciate the consideration and the honor of naming the street for my father. I remember one time he told me he was a country boy from a field outside of Kearns, and he said when they moved up here, the family and the people around Kearns were telling them, why y'all gonna move up to Dallas? What's in Dallas, Texas? Y'all need to stay here in Kearns. Why are you moving way up there? And he said when they got up here, the family prospered, everything worked out, the vision of the family prospered, and look here today, you're considering naming a street after my father, which is a great honor. And just as in the past people were afraid to move toward the unknown and everything worked out, we're also in a time in our country now where people are afraid to move toward the unknown and everything worked out. And just as my father had faith that everything will work out then, I have faith that everything will work out now. Thank you very much for your time.
My name is Ruth Wyrick, 3655 Maryland, Dallas, Texas, 75216. Madam Mayor, my own representative, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Dwayne Carraway, who has worked so hard with this, Steve Salazar.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Carolyn. Thank you. And we appreciate you. Most of you know, we've been fighting for this a long time. We've been fighting like over 2 years. And every time we thought we were there, then somebody would change it. But we appreciate you, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Carraway. You got in there. You stuck right with us. And we appreciate all of you. And we appreciate you for doing this by consideration. And at this time, we'd like for all the members of Marcellus, could you just see how many people came down today to support this? All the members of Marcellus and all of our friends, please stand at this time.
Oh,
Thank you very much. Thank you for your consideration. And Ms. Watkins, you're glad it's over almost for you.
Yes, aren't you?
We've been fighting a long time. So thank you. God bless you. We appreciate you. And just feel free to always call on us anything we can help you do.
At this time, would anyone like to come up and give their name and their address for the record in favor of renaming the street Grover C. Washington? You can come up at this time and just state your name and address for the record.
My name is Diana Broadus. I reside at 3334 Caesars Avenue here in Dallas. Thank you.
I am Lena McIntosh, and I reside at 950 Green Cove in Dallas, Texas.
Charles Garrett. I reside at 1115 Glenport Drive, Dallas, Texas.
I am Claudia Faye Harrison Washington. I reside at 920 Terry Hall Drive. I am the widow of Grover C. Washington.
I am Nellie Washington. I reside at 938 West 5 Mile Parkway, Dallas.
My name is Philippa Wade, and I reside at 4515 Crown Nose Circle, Dallas, Texas.
My name is Harold Cannon. I reside at 2219 Trinidad Drive, Dallas, Texas.
My name is Constance T. Cannon, and I reside at 2219 Trinidad, Dallas, Texas.
My name is Annie Elder, 2426 Stimson Stewart Road, Dallas, Texas.
My name is Hester Rogers, and I live at 2600 Fowler Street, Dallas, Texas.
My name is Carolyn Young, and I reside at 6453 LaGrange Drive.
Hello, I'm Ms. Stacia Wyatt Cathy. I reside at 928 Still Meadow Road, Dallas, Texas.
Hello, my name is Delphine Brewer, and I reside at 311 Appian Way, Dallas, Texas.
My name is Liddell Janning, and I reside at 8371 Campanella Drive, Dallas, Texas.
Hello, I'm Chastine Reed. I reside at 1342 Whitaker Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75216.
Good afternoon. My name is Willie Black. I reside at 4842 Elena Street, Dallas, Texas.
Hello, my name is Willie Copeland. I live at 920 Four-Edgemont, Dallas, Texas.
I'm Cleo Neal. I reside at 923 Green Hill Road, Dallas, Texas.
Blythe Harris at 3705 Morning View Drive, Dallas, Texas.
My name is Tommy Jennings. I live at 1405 Sunny Glen Drive, Dallas, Texas.
Hello, I'm Viola Davis. I live at 1524 Caravan Trail, Dallas, Texas.
My name is Helen Sears. I live at 4224 Hampshire Drive, Dallas, Texas.
My name is Sandra Marchand, and I live at 939 Whitestone Lane, Dallas, Texas.
Madam Mayor, that appears to be all of our speakers.
Thank you. We open the discussion. Mr. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Carway.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. You know, in baseball...
And it's going to be 3 minutes for one round.
Okay. All right.
I'll switch gears here.
When I saw all that emotion.
When you saw all of that emotion. But we pitched a no-hitter. We pitched a no-hitter to this council. Not one person that came to this microphone was from the suburbs. Everyone was from Dallas, Texas. And that's a no-hitter. That is a no-hitter. That means a lot, especially to me. Because, one, it shows that this neighborhood is together and that we are collectively trying to do the very best that we can to keep our community intact. Yes, this is a name change, one most deserving, to the Warwicks, and I mean all three of y'all on the front row. Those people, I want you to know, they came to my office. We laid our egos at the door, and we went to work to change the name of this street because that was the mission. And that's what we've done, and I want you to know that we've accomplished that today. You guys had a tough road because we had to send you back to go back and restart over again. Pastor, they worked extremely hard and were truly dedicated, and all of you did. And not just them, because collectively it took each and every one of you to achieve this goal, and I'm just so very proud to be here and to just be a part of it. It's a process that we're going through, that you now have gone through. CPC, the Planning Commission, they've approved it, and of course I'll be asking my colleagues to step up to the plate and approve it. I want you to know, and I don't have to bring this up, but street name changes right now is kind of in the air. We're going to name a street as well for Cesar Chavez. That is coming. I want you to know that. We're going to do that with appreciation. But today we're taking care of this order of business for the church that's located on Marcellus, for a gentleman that is well deserving of it, the late Reverend Grover C. Washington. I'm so very proud, Shay and Ruth and Mr. Warwick, to be a part of this and to be a part of making the history and setting the tone. And the tone of respect and history and a legacy. We are leaving a legacy in that community. And for those of you that are my colleagues that may not be that familiar with this portion of the community, just down the street from the Menard store on Marcellus in Illinois, where we need to get a new menu store, just so you all know when I come to you, we need a new menu store there. But down the street from South Oak Cliff High School, around the corner from Alabama, where we've had so much problem that you all heard me talk about, and to see these folks come here united as one for a cause, and the mission that we can in a few minutes say, mission accomplished. Make sure y'all send us all the invitations because we want to be there when we cut this ribbon and we make this grand announcement. And I heard my little bell going off over here. So Dr. Garcia holds us pretty close to the fire. But I just want to say thank you. And Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we close the public hearing. And I'd like to proudly move approval of this item.
We move on second. Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Grover C. Washington, a great educator, civil leader, community leader in the ministry. When I first met this person, I was a young tag. And it used to be a fraternity house on Good Labyrinth. And all of the community people, political people, always met there and talked about what is a great city that was going to be. It's an honor to name the street after Grover C. Washington. But also it's an honor that you have a fraternity brother, which he is my fraternity brother, Alpha Phi Alpha, the first fraternity. Remember that, Caraway, the first fraternity. First fraternity.
I didn't realize that, but that's okay.
And that's all right. You know, the Q's, you know, they last, and the Kappas, they all right. But to be a leader in that time of segregation and make sure we kept our school together, and again, he was a Phyllis Wheatley Elementary School Dwayne. Did you go to Wheatley? Phyllis Wheatley? No, Mr. Washington. He went to Wheatley, right? Yeah. And Booker T. Washington. which is a great high school, but then, too, it's an honor today to honor a great man. Thank you very much, and thank you for coming down and showing your support.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Mr. Carroway, I will be supporting you on this. I think you did a wonderful job bringing everybody together. Of course, I was quite young when he was pastoring here in the city of Dallas, but I will be supporting this church, that the community, for the name change. But I have one quick question. AC, is someone here? I have a particular, I just want to know how the process works. I have a church in my district, the late Rev. Wales, and he, the late Wales on Fargo Street at 1718, and I want to name change that street. It's a very, very small street, but he died last year. Do we have to wait, what, 2 years before we can go through the process?
I think Teresa can answer that specific question. There is a set of guidelines and a procedure that's laid out, and Teresa can go through with that.
There's a two-year time frame, but the council can waive those. It does require a three-quarter vote of council to approve a waiver, but that is something that can be waived by the city council.
Do we waive it before or after? How do we do the waiver process?
When the item comes forward. You don't have to do that in the application.
Oh, okay. Okay, then. And I will be getting with the family of the late Rev. Wells and getting with them so we can start that process. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Salazar.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me just also thank you for coming down here today. I will be supporting the motion on the floor. I think it is very important that we recognize the people in our communities who contribute, and especially as a reverend, that so many, many years of service to our communities and also to education. I congratulate you for the work that you've done to bring this to us, so that not only us today, but in the future, when people come to live in Oak Cliff and they get to drive down Marcellus and 35 and turn on to Grover, Cleaver, Washington, is that going to be a boulevard or a street?
It's Avenue.
Avenue? We're going to make it a boulevard? But someday it will be a boulevard, because the street that we're going to rename today is a focus of the redevelopment and the future of what we plan for Dallas. And because you're taking the opportunity to do this today, it's sending a message to many people that this is an inclusionary city, that we celebrate everyone who contributes to the city. So I want to thank you for doing that for us. We appreciate what you've done. We look forward to coming down there when the new signs get up there, and to have the street officially named with the signs. And that way, when everyone, it gets on the Masco, gets on the internet, gets on everywhere, everyone's going to know that Dallas cares about its people, and especially those that contribute to it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Salazar.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I, too, want to thank you and thank the citizens for coming down today. Also, thank you for whoever passed out the biography of Grover Cleaver Washington, because it was very interesting to read. A part of our history, and so wonderful to celebrate our history. I also want to acknowledge we have a distinguished guest here. Mayor Pro Tem of DeSoto, Carl Sherman. Carl is here. Wave your hand, Carl. Carl's here in support of the name change, too, and I just want to acknowledge him because of taking your time out, and he's one of our young leaders that's up and coming, also on DRMC, a transportation committee for this side of the region. We so appreciate that. Also, I want to acknowledge more of the supporters of the name change that couldn't be with us today but were instrumental also in helping this come to pass. The Honorable John Wiley Price, Dallas County Commissioner. The Honorable Thomas G. Jones, Justice of the Peace. The Honorable Roy Orr, former Dallas County Commissioner. Dr. T. R. Lee, publisher of the Dallas Post-Tribune. Southwestern Christian College Alumni Association. That's a lot of people. Dallas Area Preachers and Leaders of Churches of Christ. So that's a lot of folks, too. So we're pleased to have them on this team as well. So we appreciate y'all spending your time and coming down here today. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. Well, congratulations to everyone who has been involved in this process. I know as anything that is worth fighting in life, this process probably was one of the most rewarding for you. And thank you, Mayor Sherman, for being here with us, to the family of the great Reverend Grover C. Washington. Congratulations. I know that it's an honor for all of us to have a street named after him. With that, colleagues, I have a motion on the table, done by Mr. Caraway and second by Mr. Atkins, to approve agenda item number 41 and the name from Missouri Street to Reverend Grover C. Washington Avenue. I think you have the vote, Mr. Caraway, but you want it on the record, we'll do it on the record. Record vote. Well, the council has asked for record vote. All those in favor, vote yes. All those opposed, vote no.
Madam Mayor,
yeah.
You said change the name from
Missouri to
Reverend, but it's
Grover C. Washington Avenue only. Yes. Yeah. No, the name will be as it's in the agenda, Grover C. Washington Avenue. Okay. Everyone
voted on the motion?
Yes. Yeah. I was about to vote on the mayor, so. No, it's okay. It's already the secretary will
clear. I will clear it on the roll call vote. Those voting in favor of the motion, Mayor Pro Tem Garcia, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Caraway, Council Members Cadane, Medrano, Coop, Salazar, Atkins, Hill, Davis, Natinsky, Newman, Allen. Absent when vote was taken, Mayor Leppard, Councilmember Rizansky. Absent, Councilmember Hunt. Motion passes.
Congratulations. Madam Secretary.
Madam Mayor, moving to items 42 and 43. First, a public hearing to receive comments regarding the FY 2008-09 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan. And item 43 is approval of the City of Dallas FY 2008-09 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan. At this time, the City Council would like to hear from anyone that would like to speak regarding the Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this program? Madam Mayor, we do not have any speakers on that item.
Do I have a motion? Is there move close the public hearing and...
I move to close the public hearing and
approve agenda item number 42 and 43.
Yes, ma'am.
Is it moved by Mr. Newman, second by Mr. Salazar. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Madam Secretary.
Madam Mayor, those are all the items on your agenda. At this time, we'll proceed to the end of the meeting speakers. Our first speaker will be Kevin Farr. He was an additional morning speaker. Mr. Farr, your presence this day. Let me recite the rules, Mr. Farr, while you're coming down to speak before the council. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council, or while attending the city council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer. And the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. You have 3 minutes to speak. When you see the amber light, that means you have 30 seconds, and the red light means stop. First speaker is Kevin Barr.
Ken Barr.
Ken
Barr.
Excuse me.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Also city council, my name is Ken Barr. I reside at 4723 University, Dallas, Texas. I basically wanted to come down and inform you of two things that we're doing here in the community on behalf of the foundation. Before that, I want to also commend the mayor, Mayor Leppard, in his absence, and also the city council, based on all the good things that you've done for the community, especially exclusionary of all the opposition and the delays and some of the things. From the nonprofit community and also from the business community, I want to come down and let you know we listened to the proceedings on Wednesday and we hear a lot of things going on. So basically, I wanted to comment on behalf of the nonprofit foundation, the corporation, also the business community, that we support you 100% based on everything that you've done in the city. Now, moving forward on that, I am the foundation. I'm the founder of the New Face of Cancer Foundation, and I wanted to inform the city council as well as the mayor that we are proposing in January of 2009 of having a grand groundbreaking ceremony for 200 homes. Of course, this initiative will enhance cancer patients and their lives, so you're probably going to see a lot of that coming on. And also, I've been working for the last several years. I've dedicated my life to cancer patients and awareness. And based on that, I've been working for the last several years to make sure that we come up with alternative medicine and supplements to help cancer patients during chemo, radiation. And based on that, we have just come up with a gene that's P21. It's the P21 in the gene that's supposed to attract itself to the cancer cell. Now, why I'm saying that, what's going to happen is that we anticipate that Parkland Hospital will probably save several millions of dollars a year just from this particular supplement. And it's supposed to reduce the overall time spent in the hospital during chemo. My mother died years ago of breast cancer. And at that time, I pretty much said I would work and dedicate my life to do more. November of 2007, I was diagnosed with lymphoma cancer. As of September the 5th, I am now in remission. So I definitely want to thank, and I know exactly what's taking place. So at this time, I'd like to ask the city and see if there's additional resources for its research that we're doing with biophysicists, scientists, and also chemists to come up with more alternatives to the actual cancer drugs that are available on the market now. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Park. Ms. Davis.
I want to thank you for coming down to educate us on what you're doing concerning cancer. I lost a family member to colon cancer, so it is very devastating. AC, do we have anybody in here at the city that can work with this young man?
We were just thinking maybe our Health and Human Services may have contacts with either foundations. I know that that's not one of the areas that we as a city take on directly, but I know we also work with a number of different groups that may be able to assist in at least identifying some possible sources.
Now, have you met with anyone from the county or anyone from Parkland or Baylor or some of the other resource hospitals that's here in the area?
Not at this time, but we have we've been working on different programs. In addition to what we're doing, we have an outstanding patient care that we're going to be providing for Methodist Charleston based on their outstanding patient care services. November the 13th, and I think you should see that on the nightly news. But at this time, we've not worked with any of those other organizations. We're moving forward on our cancer initiative.
Okay, well, look into the other, like Parkland, Baylor, and some of the other ones. And if you can, look on the website also for numbers and contact information.
Okay.
And we have a staff person on the side that you can, will visit with you right after you sit down.
Okay, and what about the 200 homes that we're going to be starting groundbreaking ceremony in January?
If you can go ahead and send us education and all the details, you know, you can send them through the website to each council member so far, and, you know, whoever can go, we'll be more than happy to attend.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Farr.
Perhaps after the meeting, you and I can speak, because I do know of a couple of programs that do either discount or low prescription drugs also, and has helped area hospitals as well. And perhaps I could give you those contacts and maybe could help your organization.
That sounds great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Madam Secretary.
Our next speaker is Willie Mae Coleman, followed by Jada Wooten.
Good afternoon. My name is Willie Mae Coleman. I live at 3802 York Street. Madam Mayor, council members, and friends, I'm here to ask for your help again. I have a convenience store. I heard Mr. Caraway say can't and won't. My God tells me that nothing is impossible. But we got convenience stores in our community. Everybody that lives in Fraser townhomes are a long ways from a store. They don't have cars. They have to walk with their children going to stores. And the convenience stores, I offer you, go in the stores, and when you walk in the door, it turns you around. They smell so bad. The beer truck comes to these stores every day, but no grocery trucks come. And I guess we have no city rules about that, so they keep doing it. And these people are moving back into town, into Fraser townhomes. That's a lot of people. Miss Caraway, Miss Ragsdale, the ICBC, Bill and Holmes, that's a lot of people over there that cannot get to the only store you have up in Martin Luther King. And to catch two or three buses, some can catch one bus, some would have to take two buses to get there. And you can imagine how these people feel with families. And I've talked to some. They're very disheartened. There's no drugstore. They closed down the one service station we had. They beat him almost to death. So Mr. Steele had to close up. But I know that there's laws and there are rules. Miss Davis is doing what she can, but sometimes you can't do everything by yourself. You need other to come in and step to the plate and say, yes, we can do. Because I know we can. You can do everything pretty and nice for everywhere else. But over there where we live, it's so pretty and nice, and families are back, and children are running up and down the street playing. And it's just terrible because they don't have no stores, no drugstore to go to, the old people. And they don't have a way of getting around but transferring with all the darts. And so I want you to know that we are pleading and asking that everyone think about this, that we won't. We know that we can have a grocery store, and it can be on this earth. We can have a nice grocery store. But we have a lot of convenience stores in our neighborhood. But these convenience stores is just highway robbery. They're dirty. They smell real bad. And they sell, like I say, the beer truck go every day. But the grocery truck never comes every now and then. And I just wish you would help us and do something and make sure that the health inspector or somebody come and see about this. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ms. Davis and Mr. Caraway, and we have someone for environmental health here that can address food inspection if you want to speak with her, Ms. Coleman. We have someone from environmental health here that can address food inspection. Okay, Ms. Davis, Mr. Caraway, and Mr. Ashley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Coleman, thank you for coming down this evening to talk about the South Dallas Fair Park community, especially the Fraser area. I want to just mention a couple of things. First of all, Mignard is no longer owned by the Mignard family. A stock company from the New York Stock Exchange purchased the Mignard family store. They purchased that store about 2.5 years ago. The new company decided that they were going to sell the stocks in the stores. They have sold all the Mignard stores except the one in South Dallas. They was getting ready to sell that store, so that meant that we would have not had a store at all in that community. So they decided to keep that one store. The names of those stores will be changed. They will be changing the name of those stores to Saks and
the carnival stores. And they told me, based on the market right now, they looked at demographics, and we're not the buying power of food right now. The demographics show the Hispanic community buying a lot of groceries, and that was one of the reasons they made a decision to sell a lot of the Menard stores. Number two, we did walk. There's only one convenience store in that area now, and with the new initiative on convenience stores, I think that would take some of those problems. The store that she's talking about in that area, a lot of problems with that store, and we're going to have to work with the police department in that initiative around that store. Ms. Coleman, on your part, I want you to be on the Southern Dallas initiative that we have formed. I'll make sure that Lee McKinney put your name on that new task force. And what it is to look at the southern sector. We'll be looking at each district in the southern sectors, 4, 8, 7, 5, 2, and 1. And to talk about long term, what do we want to take the southern sector long term? And it's going to talk about from economic development to public safety, to health and environment, to a little on housing. And one of the things we're talking about, how do we get a grocery store in the southern sector in different districts? I think I put your name on there, but I'll make sure that Lee McKinney add your name to that. I want you to be a part of working on that committee with us. I think they start meeting in November. Okay? Thank you so much.
Mr. Kerwin, then.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Let me just say to Ms. Coleman, you're a true trooper, and you've come down to put the cards on the table just the way they are. For those of you unfamiliar with the area in which Ms. Coleman is in, Councilwoman Davis's district, and I want to make a commitment to you, Councilwoman Davis, that and to Ms. Coleman, I'm going to personally stand behind and figure out and help be supportive of whatever it takes for us to assure that we'll have more than the two grocery stores that are there. You have Save-A-Lot right across the street from Madison, and you have Menards just down from Madison. But when you look at how far you live from there, and then you take in our Bear Street residents, and then our Turner Court and Rochester Park, and those people from Bun-Ton, deep Bun-Ton, and all over the area, X-Line Park and Pine Street, when you look at that, to this council, there are only two stores in that area, and they are walking distance from one another. And you talked about buses. It does not make sense to be in a community where seniors have to get on buses to go to the grocery store, especially with these little plastic sacks that they put groceries in, and having to haul it to the bus stop, then wait on the bus, get on the bus with their groceries just to go home. Now, granted, and I appreciate all that Menards has done for the city, because they've done a tremendous, tremendous lot. But here's the deal. They also made some money off of us as well, because we are part of why they are as successful as they are. But here's where I'd like to go as I wrap this up. Is that we need to put a focus, Council, and Ms. Davis, I'm going to do it because I have the same problem in Oak Cliff, and we have the same problem out in other areas of Pleasant Grove. We're going to have to get some quality retail, and we're going to have to set these people to the table. The community is going to have to work with us, not just for this district or that district, but for the entire southern sector, so that we can bring quality retail. And we need to get us a meeting, sit them down, tell them what we need, roll up our sleeves, and see this process through. So that's what's going to take place. So that's some hope today, but it'll be reality shortly. And that's something that we're going to do, Ms. Coleman. So thank you for all your work, and I want to say that to you too, Councilwoman.
Thank you, Mr. Carwood. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Carol, you bring up a great point. Also, you, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, you know, to me, this happened throughout the district. You know, Carol is talking about environmental problems and certain store. Dwayne talking about environmental problems, certain store. I had the same store I can call EZ right across from Paul Quinn College, and I would challenge my colleagues just go over there and walk into that store and take the smell test, and you would walk back out immediately. You would not buy anything at that store. And I need to talk to Cole and make sure Cole go in there and identify those stores. They should not be open to the public. But we allow those stores to be open, and that is wrong to the public. And Linda, with environmental, you know, that is wrong. The store should not be open. And Ms. Coop, I feel like that what we need to do is just set up a little task force and identify certain stores that smell environmental and just go, you know, do a swap team on, you know, just see what's going on. Because this coming to council week in, month after month, the same old problem. Also, AC, you know, with economic development, we got to find a way why the citizen in the southern sector, you know, I hear what Council Carraway was saying and also Council Davis said people, you know, get on the train, get their groceries in the sack. I understand that. But can you just imagine from I-35 to I-45, from Loop 12 to the suburb to Lancaster and Wilmer Pass 20? There is one grocery store in the whole area. And that density is probably 30,000 people. And they walk down the street, you know, with those bags. So something is wrong. I don't know what we need to do as a city as a whole. And I think with the Southern Sector Task Force, with all the 8 council districts in the Southern Sector, we need to match up with the Council of the North Sector and see what are you doing. How do we make this work? And that's the purpose of the Southern Sector Task Force, that we're going to ask Linda and Ron the Tennessee and Shasta and Jerry, say, what are you doing different in your neighborhood? Why do you go to school and come here? It's still the same money. The money is green. We spend our money. And they got to have a place to shop. But why aren't the developers not coming there? It's not a density problem, but it's a problem throughout the whole Southern Sector. There's over 500,000 people live south of Turner River, and you got pockets throughout the whole district that they cannot shop. Not only in grocery stores, but in the pharmacy. They can't get medication. You know, you see civil citizens walking down the street, trying to catch a bus just to get their prescription. There is one part of pharmacy in the same area between 35, 45, to Loop 12, all the way to the suburb, Walgreens, the only one that get their medication. So, that's my 2 cents. Thank you,
Mr. Atkins. That was it. Madam Secretary.
Our next speaker is Jada.
I had my... It's on only that. One round today, Ms. One round, 3 minutes. Madam Secretary.
Can we do... Do we have 2 rounds, or do she make...
One round, 3 minutes. One round.
I'm asking the Secretary. I just had one question I wanted. Do we have 2 or 1?
1 round.
The mayor makes a decision on whether we have a second round or not.
Okay, that's all I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have a question, Ms.?
Well, no. I'm going to respect your 1 round.
Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Jada Wooten is not here. Angie Solomon has counseled. Madam Mayor, there's a Betty Jean Emanuel stated that she did sign up to speak, but we don't have her name, so...
Definitely.
Is you're Miss Emanuel? You want to come forward at this time and state your name and your address for the record?
Yes, my name is Betty Emanuel. I'm the one... Miss Bush came to get me, and they sent me, and they didn't get me because y'all wasn't there. And the mayor, he know that they supposed to get me, and he's not here. He tell me to leave when he leave, and he's gone. So that's not right, because he know that when Ms. Bushnell came to get me, he's supposed to be there when they come to get me, y'all supposed to be there with them when they come to get me, and y'all got me ripping and running around, and y'all know that they supposed to come and get me, so y'all are not right.
Okay. Thank you, Ms.
Thank you so much. Madam Secretary.
Nzamba Nuex, Jewel Floyd, Rusty Tomlinson, Frank Ward, followed by William Hopkins, Elijah McGrew, Charles Goodlow, Gwang Wooten, and Mr. Crenshaw.
Glory to God. First of all, last week, my council person, Ms. Carlin Davis, and the mayor, Leopard, y'all agreed to sell me the reunion arena. And I gave my information to AC, and he told me that he was going to send it some. I gave you my address, both emails. I haven't heard from him. He hasn't received anything. I also told Ms. Mary Toombs that I needed her because I knew y'all have all the information in regards to the cost of the assessments for the repairs and operation and all that, and I really need that information. I have already started contacting people in regards to trying to put together the funds to purchase that property, so I appreciate it if y'all would get that information to me. Also, I come today to teach and hopefully to break the curse that's on this city. And the curse on this city, especially in the black community, is called the rich white man syndrome. And I'm not, I hope you don't take that in a negative way, but what I mean by that is this. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible by Solomon said that money answers all things. But there's also a scripture that says the love of money is the root of all evil. And I've heard some very educated and very intellectual pastors and preachers and bishops say that that they interpret that scripture of money, the root of all evil, money being the root of all, the love of money being the root of all evil, as having the wrong relationship. But I say the Bible is true. It is the love of money that will cause you to have the wrong relationship with money. And the thing of it is that, like I said before, you know, 20 years ago, Ms. Diane Ragsdale was on the city council. She was there when they froze my $40 million project that was approved for $19 million. And also Henry Lawson, also known as Hank Lawson, that was with the city, that was over the housing project, is the one that took my project. And Mr. Lawson came to me and asked me to use my project and wanted me to sign some papers, and I declined to do it. If Diane and Mr. Lawson was to come forward and admit the truth, then you'll know that what I'm saying to you is valid. And the proposal, the settlement proposal that's on the table with the city attorney is a valid proposal. But the curse is that in our community, if we own the land, why would we let someone else come in and buy the land and develop the land and sell it back to us? You know, every time I come down here, I come down here for one reason, because I keep forgiving you, because God is merciful and God forgives me, I forgive you. And another thing is that I'm really not your enemy. I can help you if you would give me the respect that you're desiring. If we could really get together and spend some time together and discuss this matter, then we would have a better understanding and we can get it done. I'm really here to help and serve. I'm really not here to cause any problem, but I'm standing on a promise, and this is very dear to me. So can I...
Thank you, Mr. Ward.
Get the information?
Sure. And we will get you with AC.
We sent it to your AOL account, and I can show you the email. If you want to step over, I can show you where we sent it.
Okay. Did you send me a hard copy?
Yes.
It's an email, and he has it with him, Mr. Ward. So he's going to go to the end. In the meantime, Ms. Davis.
No, I was just going to have AC. He has emailed me that he has sent him a copy.
He has it with him. Okay, Mr. Ward. Anyone else? Madam Secretary. I think I saw Mr. Crenshaw.
Yes, William Hopkins. We don't see him. Elijah McGrew is no show. Charles Goodlow and Gwang Wooten. Mr. Crenshaw.
good shot.
Marvin Crenshaw, 6134 Malcolm X Boulevard. I would just like to urge the council to support the efforts of the Cesar Chavez Task Force to rename an industrial boulevard in Dallas after Cesar Chavez. The City Plan Commission had the courage to vote against renaming the industrial boulevard to Riverfront, and I hope that the City Council and the Mayor have the wisdom to do the same, because the people have spoken and they have chosen renaming of industrial boulevard to Cesar Chavez Avenue. Also, in January, we are going to come forward with another street name change, and that is for Ms. Elsie Faye Higgins. Ms. Higgins, the first lawsuit was filed, Lipscomb versus Wise, but there were 8 people who were involved in that lawsuit, and Elsie Faye Higgins was one of those who was involved in the lawsuit. Ms. Higgins eventually was elected to the Dallas City Council in 1980 and opened up the doors for everyone. She spoke out for all of the poor and oppressed people and those who could not help themselves. And we're going to not ask any of his council members to initiate the application. We're going to pay our own money to start that process, and we're going to choose Marilla Street. Thirdly, Marilla.
Right here in front of City Hall.
Right. That's right, 1500 Elsie Higgins Boulevard. But, and thirdly, in speaking about the convenience stores, now, Mr. California Davis, you know, Little World, they're opening the little restaurant or whatever they're going to have over there, where Chicken George used to be right behind the Rabbits, and you're talking about Hilu down the street. My problem is this, is that, and I noticed, in the city of Los Angeles, there was a report done, and they have passed a law, about the type of stores that can come into the community. They're tired of the fast food stores. They want stores that come in that are healthy for the residents who live there. And that's one of the problems in these convenience stores, is that you go in there and people can't buy anything but sugar. They can't buy anything but sugar. And the foods that they're selling is you might, even in Menus or Fiesta or any of them, we have to change people's diets in the community. That's why we suffer from diabetes and high blood pressure, because of the food that we eat. You know, our diet, we've changed our diet. If we change our diet in the community, we'll have we'll feel a lot different in the way people conduct themselves, because that food has something to do with it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw. Good point. Ms. Davis and Ms. McGrano.
Actually, I want to ask you one question. On permit. A lot of these places are creeping up in our neighborhood, and they're getting built to permit in PD area. For example, on 2nd, which is a PD, come to find out through the community prosecutor that they was trying to open up a nightclub, and they have the permit to try to open up the nightclub. And the same as Little World, which is on Malcolm X, they got a permit. The store is just awful. They got a permit to open up a chicken restaurant or a chicken house across the street from their store. Is there any way I can get, before they give permits on Jefferson's, that I can look at those businesses that are trying to come into District 7?
I need to look at that and see just what process we have. That it might be that when an application is made, there's a way of picking up that information just for the.
Yeah, I need to get a control of that, because it's Jefferson, and what they're saying is that they're getting everything from Jefferson. So we need to have a process or something, and it's no process.
Okay, well, let me, if you and I can visit afterwards, okay, and kind of get that area identified.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Davis, Ms. McDonald. Yes, well, sure. Mr. Crenshaw, thank you very much for coming, and it's quite ironic that you mentioned sugar content in some of the food that we were talking. We had a retreat Monday and Tuesday, and that subject came up. Mr. Rozanski brought it up. It's really important, and we are definitely going to look into it. Thank you. Mr. Coway, I'm sorry.
All right, thank you, Madam Mayor. Let me just say in short about these convenience stores. On Bear Street, across from Rose Terrace, there were a couple of stores there where they're hanging out on the outside, and I made it a point, Ms. Davis, to take the task force in with me to go in and do a self-inspection of the store. When I went into that store, and we have stores like this throughout our entire community, the cans, the food had dust on them. You could take your finger and wipe it right across, and the meat racks were deplorable. The storage for the refrigerators for the sodas and the milk were rusty. However, I went in and was very stern with those two owners and a few others, and they cleaned them up. Now, but environmental and the staff, all of them came in, and they went back out and did inspections. So I'm saying that to you to say that we do need to, Councilman Atkins and all of us, we do need to go in there and inspect it. But it may be that we need to kind of identify ourselves and not just depend on them when we can. It's a little extra work, but we need to do that. I went into one grocery store, and the grocery store in a well-known shopping center, I had to go to the men's room, and I went back to the back, and when I came out, there were like 15 baskets of food. And my point is that food was sitting in those baskets, and one of the employees had spoke to me to tell me that food had been sitting there for more than 6 or 7 days. And it's food that when it come up to the checkout counter, that instead of they don't have enough money or they didn't want this, they put it back and put it back into the counter. So those are the type of things that we, the city, and our inspectors, we're here to protect our folks and public health as well. We need to make sure that our inspectors are going to do that, and I'm for raising this up to a priority on our agenda and dealing with it to try to solve it. But just want to make that known and so we can know we got a problem.
Thank you, Mr. Trevor. I'm probably, I don't know, colleagues, if you would like to have a briefing about food inspection to the Quality of Life Committee.
We
just had one, and we're already looking into this issue.
We are definitely looking into this issue. As a matter of fact, after our briefing, we actually had several complaints of different convenience stores, and those convenience stores are now up to par. But I really encourage the council members, if you know of those convenience stores, to make sure you get those to Karen Razor, and you will get an update on those convenience stores. So any of you that are listening out in the, you know, on the audience, let us know. Get a hold of your council member and give us the name and the address of that convenience store.
And probably if we can post it also on the website like we do with restaurants,
okay.
Madam Chair, it will be a good idea so everyone okay. can access it as well.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, colleagues. It's now 2:06, and the council meeting of October 8th stands adjourned. Thank you so much.